ശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീലപ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നത്തിലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീലപ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പരിധാമക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരങ്ക ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമി ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി ദിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാണി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി
സരസ്വതി വ്യാസം
ശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തി കളവേണു കൊണിതാദൃതാനോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഹതാമുരാരേ മധുരിണാം കണികാവി കാവികാവി നമോ വിശ്വപരായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശകാരിണി ശ്രീമത് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണമഭീഷ്ണശാം യാസാം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമലം കൂജയം വേണും ശ്യാമലോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം മോകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയരേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാചാം പരസ്വഭാവകർമാണി ന പ്രശംസേന്ന ഗർഹയേൽ വിശ്വമേകാത്മകം പശ്യൻ പ്രകൃത്യാ പുരുഷേണ ചാം പരസ്വഭാവകർമാണി യ പ്രശംസതി നിന്ദതി സ ആശുഭ്രശ്യതേ സ്വാർത്ഥാൽ അസത്യം അഭിനിവേശതാം തജസേ നിദ്രയാപന്നേ പിണ്ഡസ്ഥോ നഷ്ടചേതന മായാം പ്രാപ്നോതി മൃത്യും വാ തദ്വൻ നാനാർത്ഥദൃക്പുമാൻ So, yesterday we have seen that this Namarupam that creates the feeling in the temporary forms, temporary names and forms is Namarupam. And Namarupam, if you start believing that, means you are putting your faith in the wrong place, asatyam. That's what Krishna is saying. Asatyam abhiniveshada. In asatyam abhiniveshada, it will build up, attachment will build up to the false thing, namarupam. When, and we also saw there that we have come here due to prarabdham. Prarabdham is this body. This body is called prarabdha shariram. You will see in the Bhagavatam, in several places mentioned this. Shri Narada Maharshi says this about his own body. When he came and as a little boy of the son of the servant maid, and due to the mercy of the the rishis, the sages who visited him for the Chaturmasyam time, they gave him the benediction that live here and continue remembering about Krishna. Later on, Narada Maharshi's mother died. She got bitten by a snake and she died. Narada Maharshi says, my prarabdham, that prarabdham is over. He says that that prarabdham is over. So, and then later on, when he went into the forest and was absorbed in the meditations of Krishna, Krishna appears to him and says to him, you will not see me again in this lifetime. But next lifetime, you may have the opportunity to see me. So Narada Maharshi says there that I've spent the rest of my life waiting for the prarabdham to finish. Narada Maharshi mentions this. Arabdha sarvakarmanam nipatal panchabhautika. Arabdham. Arabdham is prarabdham. Arabdha sarvakarmanam, all karma prarabdham has to finish. And then what happened? Nipatal panchabhautikam. This panchabhautikam means this material body, five material elements. Nipatat, it fell off. Arabdha sarvakarmanam nipatal panchabhautika. He says there about his prarabdham. Narada Maharshi's prarabdham. Jadabharata talks about his prarabdham. When you will see in the third time when he came as a Brahmana and he had a discussion with Rahugana. And Rahugana asked him, who are you? He says, I was an emperor Bharata. But due to prarabdham, I had to accept the body of a deer. And then again due to prarabdham, I'm here now in this form. When this prarabdham is finished, I won't be accepting another material body. Guaranteed, he says. To Rahugana. So you can see all these great personalities, they know what their body is. The Tathraya Maharshi says the same thing about his body. So you can see here that the prarabdham, Krishna's instruction is escape from the prarabdham and come to the platform of self-realization. That is the only thing what we have to do here. How to free ourselves from the prarabdham, you can't do anything about it. That will come in its own way. And nobody has any responsibility in this world. There's nothing to be done here. Nobody has any responsibility here. And there is no enjoyer here. Krishna says here that knowing very well who you are, realize yourself and be situated in that platform. That's all Krishna is expecting from us. So then yesterday we said that if that is the case, does the body doesn't have to eat? Body has to eat, is it not? But, well, that is the question, that why do you desire that you have to maintain this body? If it stays, let it stay. If not, let it go. But the question is, because you maintain this body, there is not much profit from that body. Because the purpose of this body, this is of course spoken on a very, very higher plane, which we won't understand when we have bodily needs and necessities. But Krishna's point is, the purpose of this body is to realize the self. That's purpose this body is for. And once you have realized that, then there is no particularly any use of this body. There is no particularly any use of this body. Actually, if you look at it, it is because of this body that we are feeling happiness and distress in this world. It's because of this body, isn't it? Why do we go to work? Because to get some money. Why do we need the money? Because we don't get the money, how will you eat? So everything, the body has put us in an awkward situation. And without eating, you can't live here. So like this, throughout life, you are struggling to maintain this body for the sake of this body. So, on the other hand, is the body giving us any happiness or distress? More or less, it's only giving you distress. Most of the time, it's giving you distress. So, this body which is giving so much distress and we want that body to stay for a long period of time, no matter how much distress it has brought to us. It has brought to us. So, if you feel that the body has to remain and in that understanding, if you are working very hard, what is the profit there? Not only that there is no profit, but there is a loss as well. Loss as well. And if it comes, let it come. But if the body comes, let it come. If the body goes away, let it go. But my attention is not in the body. Attention is not in the body. This is my situation. Always to remain in the platform of Atma, platform of the soul. And no other thoughts should come inside except the thoughts of the soul, and all senses, mind, everything should turn inwards and to be completely absorbed in the experience of the soul and to be satisfied and live in that state. And if that happens, then it is profitable. Instead, recognizing all other objects in this world which is separate from me and their nature and their dharma, their good and bad, all these things, glorifying them and criticizing them and then creating ragam and dvesham from that. And if it goes like this, Krishna is saying here, you will get distracted and you will fall off from the purpose for which you had come here. That is self-realization. That is what the second verse. Parasabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindari. So ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Asatyam abhiniveshada. Those two verses are very important. They're explaining to us that this is on a, you have to always remember that this is spoken on the highest level to Uddhava. That because Uddhava is leaving the world, Krishna is leaving the world, at that point, the Krishna is saying to us that this is perfection. But where we have got there, that we don't know. We are on a different level. Before us, we still have the body, we are thinking about the body a lot. But perfect level is that state when attachment to the body is completely gone from inside. So, Krishna is pointing out there that if you continue to live in this world and thinking that everything is separate from me, and then I start evaluating them about their qualities, good side, bad side, and the right and wrong, and then I start making opinion about them, praising them, some people are praising some objects, and sometimes I'm criticizing some objects or criticizing some people, and the result of all that is, I will develop ragam and dvesham inside, attachment and aversion inside. And if all that happens, Krishna says, you have already asatyam abhiniveshada. Asatyam. You have got fallen into the trap. You have fallen into the trap and you have fallen. And you will never be able to experience the purpose of this human body that's been given to you. And that is what Krishna is trying to point out here. So, what we have to know is satyam, not asatyam. We have to know the truth, not the false thing. And this world, what is manifested in front of us, is asatyam. Because it is name and forms, namarubam, and the whole jagat, the whole creation is nothing but namarubam. Namarubam. And, and in spite of the fact that many times we are convinced about that, and still, we are not willing to leave the asatyam. Krishna is saying, once you have understood the nature of the world, which is asatyam, which is false, we should try to move away from that and try to know the truth. And so, we are not false, we are satyam. Inside the alpa is satyam. And instead of coming from the asatyam to the satyam, and to come to the platform that I am satyam, not asatyam. At the moment I am thinking about myself as asatyam, because of the body. I am identifying with the body and thinking myself to be asatyam. So coming back from that asatyam to the satyam and to get established there. And this is what we have to achieve in this world. And if one has got to that state, then he has nothing else to get here. Nothing else to get here. That is why he mentioned that taijase nidrayavane pindasto nashta chedana maya prapnodi mrityumva tadvat nanartha drik puman. Nanartha drik. Nanartha, we are all nanartha drik. Nanartha drik means that our attention is so many different places. Verse 3. Attention is so many different places. Nanartha drik. Not on the place where it should be, but it is gone to all other places in this world. So, Krishna says that, think about these three states of existence. In the vacant state, what does he do? He says, I should do like this, I should not do like that. And I have to do this, I should not do that. And this is urgent, that's not so urgent. Like this, I am busy in my vacant state, isn't it? And that's all vyavaharam only. And saying all these things and I'm doing my things, the way I've been planning in my mind. And when I'm doing all these things in this world, suppose I felt a bit tired, I felt, wanted to, and the sleep has controlled me. Suppose sleep has come over. Then what happened? The senses and the mind got dissolved. Senses and the mind got dissolved. And for a little while, you stayed awake and then you went to sleep. You went to sleep. So when you went to sleep, Suppose the mind and the senses are gone, dissolved. Then what happened? Then all the namarupam I was able to leave behind. I'm just saying about waking state to dream state to deep sleep. In the deep sleep, all the names and forms are gone. From the waking state, I was experiencing that what I was saying, that running around and doing all sorts of things. Suddenly you got tired and then you dozed off. And then the dream started coming. By then the body has stopped its work. So mind and there, mind is there. And through the mind, another world, Maya, is projected, and you started living in that world for a while. Then when you got a little bit more deeper sleep, all the namarupams also disappeared because there's no dreams anymore. Namarupam has also gone away. So waking state, dream state. If you don't sleep very well, but a little bit of, if you're feeling a dreaming state, you will experience that namarupam. Namarupam will be there in the dream state. And that is what we call it as dream state, isn't it? But then finally, if you think that the body, the mind, the senses, all got dissolved, all has gone away, then it is deep sleep state. But that deep sleep state is compared to death. Compared to death. It's practically like death. Not knowing anything, completely in deep sleep. So, when you go into deep sleep state, are you losing anything? Are you losing anything? So, another form of that is this vacant state also. Another form of that is this vacant state. When you went into deep sleep, you haven't lost anything, isn't it? You've not lost anything. Every morning when you wake up, do you go back and check, is the same money in the bank when you went to, you went to sleep in the night? What you are thinking. But when you wake up in the morning, you got back everything. You are retrieving it back, all the information what you have. So, another form of that existence is this vacant state. When you study these three states properly, you will know that vacant state, dream state and deep sleep are all false. None of them is true. None of them is true. So, Vedantam is asking this question to us. Why do you say this is truth and this is not truth in the vacant state and jumping up and down about it? Why? What meaning has it got? None of them is truth. Neither vacant state is the truth, nor the dream state is the truth, or the deep sleep is the truth. But because of our jnanam inside, avidya inside, in vacant state I am holding on to something and saying this is mine and this is the truth. And one day Krishna gives you a good kick and you are gone from here with all your truth. Everything left behind here and you are gone from here. There is no... So what do you say at that time when Krishna kicks us out from here and telling you? So this truth, not truth, this is real, this is not real, that is the point Krishna is making there. That you are holding on to something and saying this is truth, this is truth. But what is truth here, he is saying? When you are thrown away from here one day, all that you have hard earned money and all family, society, everything, where is the truth there? Taijasam nidrayavane pindasto nashta jedanaha and mayam prapnodi mrityumva tadvat anartha drakhuman. One verse Krishna has. Is Krishna not right in saying that? Is he not speaking the truth? Mayam prapnodi mrityumva tadvat anartha drakhuman. In the vacant state, I am saying, oh, I know what it is, I know the truth. What truth do we know? What truth do we know? Neither. Krishna's point is, you are treating this vacant state something very special. It's nothing special, he says. It is as false as the deep sleep or the dream state. Only thing is, in this vacant state, you have somehow due to illusion, mayam prapnodi mrityum va. Maya prapnodi, due to the power of maya, you are thinking that everything in the vacant state is the reality and the truth. But do you not realize it, Krishna says, Mrityumva, when the death comes and you are thrown out from here, where is your reality? What is real then? Maya prapnodi mrityumva tadva nanarthadrik puman. Tadva nanarthadrik puman. Nanarthadrik will have this kind of experience in this world. That's the point Krishna is stressing here. Nanarthadruk. Nanartha, one who has spent all his lifetime in looking after various things in this world, identifying with them and absorbed in the falsity of this world, he is called Nanarthadruk. So Nanarthadruk will have this experience. Taijasam, Taijase Nidrayabhani, Pindasto Nashta Chetanaha. And Mayam Prapnodi Mrutimva Tadvat Nanarthadruk Puman. Nanarthadruk Puman. So we have seen that this one point Vedantam is very strong about that Jagrat is not a truth, and that is the most difficult thing to get rid of from inside, isn't it? We all have firmly established that Jagrat is the real state. We say real world, isn't it? What does that mean? The real world? Where is that real world? So that is what is Krishna saying here. And here only difference is, here the mind is working, senses are working, and a lot of namarupa, name and form there. And then senses, it contracts. When senses expands, enjoyment. Senses contract. So because of senses, contraction of the senses, contraction of the body, in the dream state, your vision of the namarupam has become limited. That's all it is. The same namarupam, what you are experiencing in the waking state, it becomes a little limited in the dream state. Why? Because the senses are not active at that time. Only the mind is active, isn't it? And we call that as dream state. So when the senses and the mind completely contracts, what remains then is only avidya inside us, ajnanam or avidya. So in all these three states, Krishna is asking, where is the difference in any of them? All three states are in avidya. Avidya is there in all the three states, vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep state. Only slight difference is that when the senses, when you come to the dream state from the deep sleep, the mind expands. When you come to the vacant state, mind expands and the senses expands. So therefore you are fully active here with the body, mind and the senses, everything. Everything. You become active. So Krishna is pointing out here that all these three states, practically there is no difference between them. And then when it is like that, why do you say that this is all truth and this is all the right thing to do in this world? And this is the wrong thing to do, and I have a lot of things to do here, this way, that way, saying all these things and running here and there. What does this mean? Krishna is asking that question to us. That's what that verse is talking about. That you are saying that you have got a lot of things to do in this world, and you have pulled up a lot of responsibility on your head, and you are saying, I'm running around here, there, everywhere, and saying that this is all the truth, and that's not the truth, this is right, that's wrong, and this is good, that's bad, he's my friend, he's my enemy. Why you say all these things? Krishna is asking us that question. Why? Because of the asatyam we are talking about. We are talking rubbish, Krishna knows that. So he's telling us, you are talking rubbish, because whatever that's going on is not making any sense to Krishna from our point, what we are doing here. So, so when you go into the dream state also, we are not thinking about it a lot. Similarly, and because when you go to the dream state, you are not thinking the same way you were in the vacant state, is it not? In the vacant state, we have a certain ragadvesham with people, ragadvesham. So ragam dvesham, attachment and aversion, when you go to the dream state, that's gone, isn't it? Ragam and dvesham has gone. And why you don't have ragadvesham in the dream state? In ragadvesham, you are not having that attachment aversion like in the vacant state. You are not thinking about it anymore. Not thinking about it anymore. Similarly, in vacant state also, Krishna says, don't think about it, all these things. Then there is no world after that, and nothing exists. So where does all these stays, this ragadvesham and everything? In your mind. Everything is inside the mind, not anywhere else. It's only inside the mind. So that is why Krishna says here, Dvaidam is all vyavaharam. All vyavaharam is dvaidam. Kim badram, kim abadram va. Dvaidasya vastunakir. Va jodidam tad amrdam. Manaso dhyatam eva va. Kim badram, kim abadram va. Dvaidasyal vastunakir. Va jodidam tad amrdam. Manasa dhyatam eva cha. So, that means if we say to somebody that drashtava, the seer, drishyam, the seen, it's one and the same thing, how will he believe this? If I say the seer and the seen is the one thing, how will he believe that? Because suppose I say to you, I am seeing you and me and you are one, drashtava and drishyam. Now I am drashtava, you are the drishyam. And sometimes you are the drashtava, I am the drishyam. What Krishna is saying, that drashtava and drishyam is one thing. There is no two things. There is no two things. Because you can see, I am saying, I am seeing him. He is saying, I am seeing him. So this I am is the same in both. I am is one. I am is the same person. So, in the same false ego, both of us are situated. I am situated in that false ego as I am. He is also situated in the false ego as I am. Both of us are established in that false ego of I am. That is why we are saying like this. I am seeing you and he is telling me he is, I am seeing you. So, this I am, he is saying I am also saying I am. Both of us are situated on the platform of false ego, I am. The false ego, I am. So, similarly, all living entities in this world are situated in the same false ego. And when that false ego dissolves, after that, there will be no more jiva. The jiva quality has gone then. So, from ahankaram, the mind was born. From the mind, senses were born. Remember that. From satya ahankaram, mind was born. Rajasa ahankaram, senses have come. And in this way, mind, senses, and intelligence, and all these things, mind, senses, intelligence, and all that, and the root of all that, it is the ahankaram. Ahankaram. Ahankaram is the root, and these are the different branches which has come from that tree. Mind, intelligence, senses, everything. So, and ahankaram, when it expands, this tree expands. And in what form? Vyaktam avyakta svarubena. That is inside and outside. Outside and inside. Vyaktam avyakta svarubena. I mean, it is expands outside as well as inside. It has expanded and this we have to accept first. This we have to accept that. That means only due to the ahankaram, that ahankaram I have inside, therefore that has expanded and therefore my identity, I am, intelligence, false ego, everything has expanded and that has come out into the world and that is inside me as well. In both forms it stays. Inside me it stays and it comes out in the world and stays there. So, if it is like that, how will you realize the truth? How will you realize the truth? So, because of the influence of this expanded false ego, inside and outside, that's why we suffer. That's why we suffer. And the shelter of all these things is the mind. Mind is the shelter. So, unless this mind has been destroyed, and when you are convinced that nanatvam has not happened, what he mentioned in the last nanarthadrik puman, he said, if you have to come to the understanding that nanatvam is not existing, nanatvam is not, there is not many things here, there is only one thing. When you start thinking that there is many things here, that is nanatvam. So when you realize that there is no nanatvam here, there is only one thing here, so then you will know you have coming to the right state. Because just like you have nanatvam in the dream state, isn't it? In dream state you have nanatvam. You know this word, nanatu. Nanatu means that you are perceiving many things. This many exists in the dream state and the waking state only. So, in the many things in the, there is many things in the dream state. But when you come back to waking state, you don't accept that many things in the dream state, is it not? So, nanatvam in the dream state, you are already rejecting in the waking state, is it not? Krishna is asking, similarly, you have to reject the nanatvam in the waking state also. But in the waking state, nanatvam you are accepting as the truth. Kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya vastunakir vajoditam tad amrdam manaso dhyatam evacha. Each verse is very potent, with full of knowledge in these verses. Krishna is saying that you are rejecting your nanatvam, what you are having in the dream state, when you come to the waking state. Nanatvam is gone. You are not accepting anything there, is it not? Nanatvam you are not accepting. Although in the dream state it was an experience. Similarly, the same, but in the waking state, you are not accepting that. You are saying everything in the waking state is real. Everybody has got their passport and their visa, everything. So how can you say it's not real? So this is the way it is. Krishna is only seeing the waking state, nothing but another dream state. Another dream state. So these three, similarly, when you go into the dream state, this nanatvam in the waking state, you are not serious about it, are you? Of course, on the other side, conversely, you can say, nanatvam of the dream state, you are rejecting in the waking state. Similarly, nanatvam of the waking state, you are not accepting in the dream state either. Otherwise, other way also. So, these are examples to tell us, Krishna is pointing out these things to us, that between these three states, there is not much of a difference, from the experience level, You must know this word nanatvam well. Nanatvam means this, that you are recognizing and accepting that there is a lot of objects here, lot of people here, lot of living entities here, and everything different. This recognition is nanatvam. Krishna is saying to us, there is not many people here, there is not many living entities, there is only one consciousness here. That's all. But we have, because of our, we have gone down in our bodily identity, we become too stronger in us, therefore we have accepted this nanatvam. And this nanatvam has no meaning, Krishna says, because when you go to the dream state, nanatvam is gone. Similarly, all the nanatvam, I don't know exact what English word is for nanatvam, what have they put in that word? In the no mention. No translation. Oh, transliteration. Okay. Nanarthadrukpuman. Nanartham. So similarly, the nanartham in the dream state. Nanartham in the what?
The terms of material
varieties.
The terms of material varieties.
Yeah, a sort of that. Yeah, material varieties. See. Namarupam basically. The right word is namarupam. Name and form. Name and form. In various ways. Everything is name and form here in this world, is it not? Everything is name and form. We give a name to something and it has got a particular form. And on that we are stuck. We are stuck there. So name and form, namarupam is nanartham. Once the namarupam disappears, nanartham gone. Krishna's point is, nanartham in the waking state, you are leaving it when you go to the dream state. There is no nanartham of the waking state in the dream state. But another nanartham comes up there. The dream state nanartham. Nanartham of the dream state. And that nanartham, when you come to the waking state, you are rejecting it, saying that it's not real. So if you are able to reject the namarupam or the nanartham of the dream state, why don't you reject in the same way the waking state nanartham or namarupam also? That is Krishna's logic. Of course, it is easy to say all these things, but we have to accept what Krishna is saying. That is the truth. There is no question about that. Vedanta is absolutely sure about all these things. They don't mix with anything else. So, these are all, Krishna earlier mentioned that it is mayamayam. It's all mayamayam. Maya is doing this. Nanatvam is created by maya. So, knowing that, It is Maya's work, and in that way you have to transcend all the three states. So when our consciousness has transcended these three states, Jagrat, Sopnam and Sushupti, the mind becomes in Shanti, peaceful state. Mind is does not move anymore, there's no more movement inside. It becomes fully focused, and there won't be, in that state, in the mind, there won't be even the slightest trace of Namarupam there. That is the symptom. Namarupam is complete. If you look at all the great souls, you will see this is how they lived in this world. In their mind, mind was there, but this is not the same mind like we have. Our mind is full of thought waves, one after the other. But in their mind, all the thought waves have gone, and there is no Namarupam there, not even a trace of it inside their mind. Not even a trace of Namarupam inside their mind. So, when the Namarupam completely goes away like this, the Gunabhavam also goes away. The Gunabhavam also goes away. Gunabhavam also gone, then the cover of Atma has gone. The cover on the Atma has gone. And Atma, which is self-effulgent on its own, it will show its spurti. Spurti is the word. Spurti means it will come out its own way, and you will know what it is then. Then you will know who you are. Up to that time, you are always identified with the false things and suffering here. So, and in that situation, Krishna is saying you will experience the greatest bliss of the, that is what is called enjoying the self, or satisfied in the self. So, for the sake of happiness, for the sake of happiness, we are inquiring in this world, running after different objects, isn't it? So, whatever objects you have got here in this world, and whatever happiness you have got from that object, whatever happiness you have got from that object, a happiness which you have never got before from any object, that is the experience of the self. Experience of the self. And imagine that experience comes to you within yourself, then why do you come back to this world again? World of these three, vacant state, dream state and deep sleep. And situated in that state of self-realization, you should remain like that. And this is what you have to achieve in this life. And to get to that state, that is the process Krishna has spoken before. Jnana Margam, Karma Margam, Bhakti Margam. And one who utilizes all that properly, he attains, he reaches the destination. Krishna is saying that. He reaches the destination. So that is what in that third verse Krishna referred to. Taijasa nidrayavane pindasto nashtachetanaha mayam praapnodi murtyumva tadvat manarthadrakka puman. Then he mentioned there kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya vastuna kiyad vajodidam tadanardam manasadhyatam evacha. That this dvaidam, what we see as the creation, what is existing right in front of us in the form of Namarupam or Nanatvam, and all these objects in this world, you should know that it is the same vastu. Same one vastu is present in all different forms, in the form of every living entity here. Vastu is the same. And that vastu, but that vastu, when you are seeing that, there is no satta in there. There is no satta. Satta means that you are experiencing that vastu in one way. But is there the truth in there? That's what Krishna is saying. Because it's only bhavamatram. Bhavam it is. Bhavamatra darshanam. What that means, a particular person, say you are saying, he creates a bhavam inside you. You can see this example. See, when you walk through the town center in Watford, or small towns like that, not in city, but smaller towns, sometimes some artists will come. They will come with their different colors. And they take few minutes only, they make a picture on the floor somewhere, and they'll sit there. Like, you might have seen this in different small towns, they do that. And people passing by, they look at the picture. Sometimes it's Margaret Thatcher, sometimes Tony Blair, or some leader, big personality, Obama or anybody, whoever it is. They'll draw it so nicely, and they will sit there. People come, look at that drawing, picture, and then they will put some money on the hat, what he has put in there, and go. Now what has happened here? Imagine that. There was no Obama there, there was no Tony Blair there. All he has done was, he has brought some color powder, and he has put it in a particular form, but when you saw that, you felt inside that you are seeing Blair or Thatcher or any big leaders, political leaders, you felt like that. So what does that mean? Bhava matra. It's called bhavana. It creates that impression inside you. In reality, it's only a color powder lying on the floor. few different color powders he has just sprinkled on the floor in a particular form, and he has gone and sitting there a little away, he will sit further away with his hat on. People pass through, they observe it. You will see this sometimes in the tube stations, underground tubes, they will do this. You will see these people all the time. They are specialists in these things. They know how to create that bhavam inside you. All it is that they have created that impression inside. So that thing what he has created there, is it vastu? It's not vastu, it's called avastu. Vastu is not there, vastu satta is not there. Only thing is he has succeeded in creating that bhavam inside you, of Blair or Kasha, whoever it is. So he is only doing that. And so So Vedantam, they say that it is not vastu swarupam, it is bhava swarupam. It's not vastu swarupam, it's bhava swarupam. Similarly, Krishna is saying, all these objects in this world, they are all bhava swarupam only. Bhava swarupam only. And they give you a false impression inside, they are something. In your mind, it creates a false impression. And suppose the mind has stopped going to these different forms, names and forms, what you see in this world, and if it does not create any more that bhavam inside me, suppose I'm seeing so many names and forms, suppose I don't see these names and forms, and they don't create any bhavam inside, then there is no more world after that. World is gone then, isn't it? So, that is what Krishna is saying, that word. Dvaidasya vastu na kiyat. Dvaidasya vastu na kiyat. Kim badram kim abadram va. You can see the fineness in that thoughts, in that statement. The fineness. Not gross. So fine it is. Krishna is seeing in a most finest way what we are. All padartham in this world, all objects in this world, Krishna is saying is nothing but, it is nothing but a namarupam. And all it is doing to you, that it is creating their bhavamatram. It's only creating a bhavam inside me. For example, if I see someone, either he is my friend or enemy, that's the impression that he bhavam is creating in me. Is it not? Because I have ragadvesham inside, therefore he creates that impression in me. He is my friend or enemy. So apart from that, there is no other relationship. There is no other. Everything is bhavamatram. See, for example, parents and the children, husband and wife, all relations are bhavamatram it is. Because there is dvaidam. Therefore it is bhavamatram. Nothing more than that. But because we don't understand that, We have fallen in, victimized by the Maya. Maya makes us think that, oh, I have such a deep relationship with him. I have such a deep relationship with him. You have no relationship. Nobody has any relationship with anybody because there is no two things to relate each other. Where is the relationship coming from? This thing called relationship itself is a false thing. It doesn't mean anything. But for vyavaharam purpose, we say all these things. The relationship and everything else along with that, whatever it is. So, but the truth is what Krishna is saying is the truth. Dvaidasya vastuna kiyat. So, the moment you realize that there's this dvaidam is avastu swarupam. Dvaidam is dvaidasya avastuna kiyat. Dvaidam is avastu. Krishna says, dvaidam is avastu. Avastuna kiyat. That's all enough. Krishna says, all you have to realize is that. But these things, what Krishna is saying, continuously reflecting on that, and you have to make it on your own realization. That is the important thing. Now we will discuss Bhagavatam, but afterwards you should not just leave it, that gone in and gone out like that. This is not katha. This is this absolute truth Krishna is talking about. So this thing has to be absorbed, reflected upon well, and it has to make it our own realization. That's the only way to free Namarupam from inside. Otherwise, Namarupam will get inside and destroy us. So Krishna is saying to us, and you can see, this is what you will see in the realized souls. This is what you will see in the realized personality. These things, what Krishna is saying here. So, kim badram kim abadram va? Krishna is saying, then why you are saying, when it is like this, why do you say that this is good and this is bad? This is good and this is badram, this is abhadram. Why are you talking all nonsense? Krishna is asking that to us. Think about this. Sometimes we say, oh, this has come out very well. That didn't come out very well. Why you say like that? So, a person has drawn a picture. Another person comes and says, what you have drawn has come out very well. Another person says, didn't come out very well, very poor. He says like that. But what you are seeing there is only what you have created with your brush and the paint. Somebody has brought some color and the paintbrush and he painted a certain picture and someone else is saying, so, because after all it is a picture, whether it is good or bad, is it vastu swarupam? It is avastu. That is the point. Dvaidasya avastu na kiyal. It is avastu swarupam. And in your mind, all it is what he has done is, he has made a form with the color powder and tried to create a imaginary form inside your mind. That's what he has done. He has tried to create, he has put some effort, he has tried to create a form in your mind. That's all he has done. But it is no vastu sarupam. Vastu satta is not there in that. Remember this word? Vastu satta. Vastu satta is not there. There is no meaning to the vastu. There is no vastu there. He has created a form inside your mind. That's all he has done. For example, suppose I have my father's photograph at home. And I framed it nicely and kept it. And I'm saying that, oh, the photograph is very nice. He looks like my dad who sat there long ago. And all it has done is that photograph has made me to remember that his body, which is made of 5 material elements, nothing else. 5 material elements built in the form, his form of his body. That thoughts has come to my mind. In other words, it created that feelings inside about that form. There is no vastu satta there. There is no vastu satta. Because it has nothing to do with my father. He has gone, where is that form, where is he now? And I am holding on to that false thing still, thinking that that photograph is my father. All it has done is, it created, it is no vastu satta there. Or it is created, is a form which in my imagination I had that form before. So when I saw the photograph, that imagination inside my mind has woken up. Was woken up. And all it is his body made of five material elements is that form. And if I say to others that that's my dad, that's my father, that body is nothing but five material elements. And all here, the photographer or the artist has done, he has drawn the picture with different colors. And again and again, he tried to make it in such a way so that that thoughts will build up inside me. That's what he's trying to do. He creates the thoughts inside me and nothing else has happened. There is no vastu sarupam. Dvaidasya, dvaidam. Dvaidam's problem Krishna is explaining. Dvaidasya avastana kiyal. Avastanam. Because it is not vastu sarupam, similarly everything in this world is avastu. Everything in this world is avastu. That means only in bhavam. Only in the bhavam. It creates a bhavam inside. Oh, that's my father. A bhavam comes to me, and bhavam is an activity of the mind. It's an activity of the mind. And the moment the mind goes away, and the mind gets completely in shanti state, then there will be no more bhavam after that. It is only a movement inside the mind, this thing called bhavam. Because you can see, in sushupti state, you can see when the mind dissolves, there is no namarupam. Is it not? In sushupti, you are not having any namarupam. So, where is the world then? So, world disappears when the namarupam goes away. And namarupams are all in the mind. And when the mind dissolves, namarupam dissolves, world dissolves. This is that order, how it happens. So, Krishna is only explaining to us that look at everything from the subtle level. Don't look at it from the gross level. The science and modern world is only teaching us the gross side of everything. Never tells us anything about the subtle side. Krishna is only telling us the subtle side. Don't look at the gross side. We are seeing the gross side and all our analysis is based on the gross things. Is it not? Whereas all Krishna is telling us is that look at the world, namarupam it is. Namarupam has no vastusatta. It is only like a picture. An artist is creating a form and putting some image inside, and I'm holding that as the truth. Krishna says, don't hold on to that, the truth, because there is no vastu satta in there. It is only bhavam there. Only creates a bhavam. Similarly, any form in this world, every namarupam, is like that. It has no vastu satta there. There's no vastu satta there. I'm seeing so many namarupam here. Now, if I start thinking that, and because I'm thinking everybody is a namarupam, I have ragadvesham because of that. So unless namarupam goes away from inside, ragadvesham also won't go from inside. So in order that ragadvesham has to go, namarupam must go first. And namarupam and ragadvesham has gone, then the world is gone. And once the world is gone, then mind is gone. And the example, best example, in the deep sleep state, what happens? No namarupam, no ragadvesham, no world. Proof of that. That is why, and this exactly even Krishna said this to the gopis at the end. After all that pastimes in Vrindavanam, later on in Madhura and Dwaraka, and then when they came to Sanandamanchakam, Kurukshetram, there is a discussion between Krishna giving final touch to the gopis on spiritual side. And there he is mentioning this. This is this world. And gopis got it because it's come from Krishna's mouth. So it had its effect on the gopis. And they never looked back again into namarupam. That has gone away from here. So you can see here that this prabhanjam, that is why Krishna is saying, you are thinking this world is existing. From this point of view, if you look at it, the world is not existing, isn't it? So, this namarupam's coming up, going away, and that is what the world is. Suppose in this life itself, you may have had many, many namarupams have come and gone, isn't it? When you were a child, your friends, some namarupams have come and they've gone. When you grew up in your youth, some namarupams have come and gone. And now in the old age, some other namarupams are coming and going. And one day, your namarupam also goes. So all center around Namarupam we are operating in this world. Namam, Rupam, nothing else. So completely on the gross level, in other words. When you are operating on the Namarupam level means completely on the gross level. And when you are operating in the Vastu level, that means you are operating on the most subtle level. Most subtle level. as long as you have absorbed in this Namarupam, Krishna says, you will be a samsari. Samsari means one who is in the material existence. Isn't it? Singing the song Sansara Dhavan and Ali Diloka, you're not going to get out of it. You will still remain in the same samsara. You can sing all that, that's okay, that's nice. That's for praising the spiritual master. But you won't get out of samsaram because you sung the song nicely. You won't come out of it. This is samsaram. Samsaram means that living in this Namarupam, in the world of Namarupam. That is samsaram, material existence means. So where is that samsaram? In your mind. It is in your mind. And if you could not take it out of your mind, this Namarupam, you will have to remain and live in this world as a samsari. He is called a samsari. One who lives in samsaram is called a samsari. So then you are saying, complaining, oh, Krishna has put me into all this misery in this life. Why is he doing this to me? I am such a nice devotee. I have done so much service. And what has he done? He hasn't done anything. He is saying to us, I have not done anything. You, on your own stupidity and foolishness, you have accepted all the false things. And you are unable, finding it difficult to come out of it. Because you are not thinking about these things. What Krishna is saying, you are not taking seriously. Arteshu avidyamanebi samsradir na nivartate. There is a statement, you will see that verse later coming somewhere. Perhaps possibly in the same chapter. Yeah, it is a 13th verse. Arteshu avidyamanebi samsradir na nivartate. Dhyayado vishayanasya sapne anarthagamo yatha. How many times this verse is repeated in the Bhagavatam? 5 times. The same verse. Kapila Maharshi says, twice in the Paranjana Upakhyanam, in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, twice. The same verse. Whenever Shukabrahmarshi has Nama Amarupam, you have to remember, they are the people whom you have to look up to. Shri Shukha has no Namarupam. Jadabharata has no Namarupam. Dattatraya has no Namarupam. They can accept the, and you can also see the Navayogis, no Namarupam. Remember that? When Navayogis appeared, you look at those verses. Verses are very clear. If you read the verses, you will see. What did they say? When they appeared in front of King Nimi, how did they appear? Look at that, the appearance of them. They are saying here that this is the beauty of when you get freed from the Namarupam, that says that their nature. Avyahadeshtakathaya, second chapter, 11th canto, verse 23. Avyahadeshtakathaya surasiddhasadhya gandharva yakshanarakin naranagalogan muktal sharandi Municharana Bhutanatha Vidyadara Jagavam Bhuvanani Kamam. That verse. That Avyahadeshtakadaya Surasiddha Sadhya Gandharva Yachanara Ginnara Nagalokan. They can go anywhere, because when they started coming down from the sky, King Nimi saw these 9 great personalities, Kavi, Hari, Andariksha, Prabuddha, Pippalayana, Avirhota, Drumala, Chamasa, Karabhaja, 9 great sages coming down. And as and when they were coming down, their form was appearing along with them. And all of them 9 were come one after the other. And in the verse before that you will see, Ta ede bhagavad drupam vishwam sadasada almagam almano avyadiregena Pashyando Vyajaran Mahim. Pashyando, these Navayogis, they were saying this whole world, creation, whole creation, which is the gross and the subtle form of this creation, everything as Krishna. And separate, not separate from Atma inside, and they travelled in this world freely. That means no jagat separate. They didn't have these three things. Which one? Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat. That stage is crossed. Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat is one level. After they have crossed that level, there is no difference then. Jiva, Ishvara and Jagat, they call in the Vedanam as Tripudi. Tripudi has to go. That comes much later. Jiveshwara Jagat is in the early state, Dvaitam state it is. But once they have crossed that, Sridharacharya Swami mentions here that Jiveshwara Jagat has gone and it is the one Satachitta Anandam that is present here. So that is the reason why they could travel to so many planets. Because as and when they approach a Gandharva's world, they will accept a Gandharva body. When they approach the Kinnara's world, they will accept a Kinnara's body. So where all they could go? Avyahadeshta Gadaya. Avyahadeshta Gadaya, Sirasiddha Sadhya, Gandharva Yaksha, Narakinnara, Nagalogan, Municharana, Bhutanada, Vidyadara, Dijagavam, Bhuvanani, Kamam. They were not restricted going anywhere because we are in the human world. From human world to go to Gandharva world, you require a special visa and a special body to go there. And they were in a position to accept a form when they come here, give up this form, go on to another planet, Gandharva's world or Yaksha's world, Kinnara's world, and accept the form whatever that is necessary for that world. This was a special facility given to them. They were not changing their spacesuit all the time, moving from one planet to another, like we do. Isn't it? That's why science is such a gross thing. Science cannot give you the final solution to all this. How long are you going to keep on doing this research? For Mars planet, you need one spacesuit. Saturn, you will need another spacesuit. Keeps a lot of people on the job. That's all I can say, nothing more than that. But this subtle way is the way to travel. If you want to do all these things, Krishna is saying, Avyahadeshta Gadaya. Avyahadeshta Gadaya means there is no restrictions for them to go anywhere. They reach that state. Nobody can stop them because they have got that potency in them. Avyahadeshta Gadaya. There is no, nobody can put the bar in the front. So, these are Avyahadeshtagadaya, Sura Siddha Sadhya Gandharva Yaksha Narakinnara Nagalokan Muktal Charandi. They are always in the liberated state. Municharana Bhutanada Vidyadhara. Municharana Bhutanada Municharana Bhutanada Vidyadhara. And then Dijagavam, in the world of the birds and cows, all their world. Whatever world that is existing, anywhere they could travel freely because of this facility what they had. And that is why Krishna is mentioning here also the same thing. Ateshu avidyamanebi samsridharna nivartade jayado vishayanasya sapne anarthagamo yada. So unless we come out of this illusion, this is not going to happen. So ateshu avidyamanebi samsridharna nivartade. So, that means, Arteshu avidyamanebi samsritam nivartade. What does that mean? It means that, suppose you have realized that the padartham doesn't exist. Padartham is not existing. But still, your material existence has not gone away. Material is, why? Say, for example, your son died 10 years ago, and you are thinking now, what shall I do? How sad it was. What can I do now? And you are crying about that. You are saying that, oh, you are thinking, suppose he was living now. 10 years ago he died. You are thinking, if he is living now, he'll be 20 years, he'll be a young man. And I was not fortunate enough. This is how ordinary people will think like this, isn't it? So, death has happened 10 years ago. And you are lamenting about it now. What has happened then? Death has happened many years ago. But why the lamentation has come now? Why you are feeling distressed now? Because you are storing that inside your mind. Inside your mind. This is the reality. Because as and when you remember that, at that time you start crying, thinking about it.
Because you are storing it in the mind.
So,
so, what did you do now? Because you had stored that in mind, and you pulled it out. You pulled it out and created that bhavam inside of his form that you have created inside in your bhavam. He is not there in that body anymore. He has gone. But that side you have completely ignored it. You were only having that his bhavam in your mind, is it not? Otherwise there is a relationship between the mother and the son, or father and the son. It's only a bhavam inside. You have created that bhavam inside and you are storing that bhavam in you. After 10 years, suddenly when some memory came and you started thinking about that bhavam, what was inside you, and that bhavam created this feeling in you, he was born and then he died, and this, that, everything centered around him, you started thinking about it more and more and getting absorbed in that, and all kinds of experiences comes from that remembrance of the thing what happened 10 years ago. You see that? How Padartham has disappeared. Padartham is that person who died, son who died. 10 years ago he died and gone. But today you are sitting and thinking about it and crying. And thinking all sorts of things you will think about it, isn't it? Had he been living now, he'd have been 20 years old or 22 years old. And you'll say, oh, he'll be ready to get married, or he'll finish his degree, or this or that, whatever material life, whatever we glorify things like that. You will impose all those things on him, and then you will feel sad, and you will cry, feel bad about it, sad this happened, that happened, and all that. And you will look back into that form which was existing here in this world, and you will analyze it in your own mind, and all your activities or interactions with him, those thoughts will come back, and based on that you will experience the happiness or distress, whatever way it comes. So at that time you will start saying, where is this all coming from? Because who created all these things? Only the mind and the bhavam that was inside the mind. That person's bhavam is what you are storing inside. Bhavamatram it is, isn't it? So if you remove that bhavam from inside and purify the mind and turn the mind inward looking and focused on the truth, then you will realize that there was never any material existence. This is all material existence it is. This is common man's life in this world, isn't it? Lot of happiness and a lot of distress. This is the package. Little bit of happiness and lot of distress. This is the package what we get when we get this body. And when we come here, and that's coming, lot of distress is coming and going, and finally you are thinking, sitting with seriously and thinking, what should I do about this, what should I do about that, worrying about it and all that. But what it is that all our, because our relationship with the world is not very clear within ourselves. That's why this problem. What's my relationship with this world? That we ourselves have to be clear what Krishna is talking to us. Krishna is saying, the padartham, they are all bhavamatram. They are all different persons. It may appear like they are different persons. But that is all bhavamatram it is. And what it does is, it creates some bhavasvarupam inside and it stays there. And in my ajnanam or avidya in my mind, I have developed that I have a relationship with that. This is all avidya it is inside. Attachment to that, and I hold on to that very strongly inside me. And this is how I created my material existence. Material existence was created in this way. And Krishna is saying, if you are not going to change yourself and give up this falsity, suffer yourself. I can't do anything about it. That's very straightforward. Vajoditam tadanardam manaso dhyadam evacha. Very open. Not showing any mercy. Krishna is saying to us, if you are not willing to change this, what I am telling you the truth, Krishna says, and if you can't understand this, and if you are not willing to change yourself, why? Because all these years we are holding on to the untruth. Inside my mind, all the different forms and names I have been storing up, I have been storing dust, like a storage it is inside. And each Namarupam has created its own Ragadvesham in me. And I am suffering because of that. Krishna is saying, and you are telling me that I have given you a lot of trouble. Krishna says, I have not given you any trouble. You have created yourself all the trouble for yourself by storing up all this Namarupam inside and creating Ragadvesham inside. And if you are not willing to throw them away, Vajodidam tad anardam. Anardam it is. Anardam means it's a total lie it is. It's not real. That is what Krishna is saying. Vajodidam tad anardam. How did that anardam? Manaso dhyatam evaja. With your mind and your imagination, you have created all this. They are not real. None of them is real. When we say all these things, you'll say, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then you come out, we'll same thing again, we'll continue. That is called avidya. That's called avidya. When Krishna says everything is very sensible, very logical, very scientific, whichever way you want to put it, I can't see anything more logical than this. When Krishna is saying this, is it not? He is saying to us that kim bhadra dvaidasya avastu. Avastu it is. Everything is avastu. And all it is, every Namarupam is only creating a bhavam inside. Nothing else it does. And I have fallen into this illusion of Namarupam, and the after effect of Namarupam is this Brahmam. Brahmam. In that, and because of that, I am suffering in this world. I am suffering in this world. And that is why Krishna is saying, Vajodidam tadanurdam. You can't be more straight than this, isn't it? Vajodidam tadanurdam. What? Manaso dhyatam evaja. With your mind you have built up all these things. And suppose all the Namarupam has gone from inside, all the Ragadvesham has gone inside from inside, all the world has gone from inside, then whom will you lament about? Then you will say, oh, I don't have anything to lament about now, I have to find something to lament about, something new. This is how we are. Krishna is making a complete joke of us, actually. He is putting in a very subtle level, but to show to us that how foolish and stupid we are in this world. And that is why, then, properly, if you go to personalities who are gone in that level, and sometimes people go to spiritually advanced people to go and tell them all their problems of this world. Now, you are talking to a stone. That stone is not going to accept any of your foolish miseries, what you have created yourself. So what will they say? Get some nice prasadam, take some prasadam and go. Don't waste my time. That will be their attitude. That will be their attitude. Because you are going and telling him, oh, my husband has done this to me, or my wife has done this to me, children are not listening. Swamiji, do something about it. What Swamiji can do? Swamiji is telling you, kim badram kim abadram. Swamiji will say this verse to you. Then you will say, oh, Swamiji is saying some verses. For Swamiji it's okay, he can say all these verses. I am the one who is suffering. This will, again you will say the same. Once you come to that level, Swamiji will say, thank you very much, please leave me alone. That's what he will say. Ramana Maharshi and all has done this many, many times. People will go to him with all their family problems, and his own mother came up to him saying that you should come home, you know, I'm an old person, if you don't come and stay with me, what will I do at the old age? This, that and the other. Maharshi, for a long time he sat quietly listening to it. After that, when it became unbearable, he took a piece of paper and what that he wrote and gave it to her. He says to her that everyone in this world has come with what they have to suffer. And they have come, they have brought their own prarabdha with them. When the prarabdha is over, they will go. Anybody wants to change that, nobody will be able to change it. He will have to accept whatever Krishna has given. Jagadishwara, the Supreme Personality, controlling everyone's life through this prarabdha. Through prarabdha, he controls everybody's life in this world. Because that's how he controls our life in this world. And that you can't change even an inch one way or the other. Whatever has to happen, will happen. Whatever is not to happen, it will not happen even if you want that to happen. He wrote all these things and gave it to her. That's all, he said. And he was saying that if you keep on insisting, I'm going away somewhere else, he said. I don't want to stay here. So those who have reached that state, they will see the things in the proper, that is proper vision, isn't it? Whereas what we want, you should also join me and show some compassion to me and suffer with me. and showed to me that he is very compassionate and very showing his identity with you in your misery. Somebody else joins us in our misery, we feel happy about it, is it not? So same thing. So that's vajoditam tadamrdam manaso dhyatam evacham. So with the mind I'm thinking about them, and with the words I'm talking about them, and all this pradartham is like that. And if I'm not talking about them, and if I'm not thinking about them, then the padartham is not existing, isn't it? Padartham is not existing then. Because I have stocked them up in my mind in the form of bhavam, bhavalmagam. And I'm taking it out and talking about it and thinking about it. Therefore that padartham has coming like that. So where is all this padartham now? Padartham means the object. Where are they? In my words and in my mind. Isn't it? It's in my mind, and then I'm putting them through the words outside. Manaso dhyatam evacha. Manaso dhyatam evacha. So, and all that, Krishna is saying, whatever you are speaking in this world, all that is a lie. Lie in the sense, not the way we talk about lie in the normal way. Lie in the sense, you're speaking in ignorance. It is not the truth. That's what Krishna is saying. Not that you are deliberately lying something, but because you are ignorant, ajnanam is there inside, avidya is inside, therefore whatever that's coming through your mouth, out, in the form of words, is all not real, is all false. So, and everything what you are talking about is based on your vyavahara mind. In vyavaharam that is how it is, isn't it? Vyavaharam, you're always looking at the profit and you do the business here. So, everything that is involved in the vyavaharam is also asatya vastu. It has no real existence. Asatya vastu itself. So, asatya vastu, when you are taking the asatya vastu means which is not real vastu, when you are taking that and you are doing vyavaharam with that, can that become satyam? That's what Krishna is asking. You are taking an asatya vastu and you are doing vyavaharam with that, how will it become a satya vastu? Similarly, all the vastu, what you are dealing with here in this world, is everything what you are seeing and you are doing vyavaharam with, is all asatya vastu. It's all asatya vastu. In this way, with the mind, with the words, and in the form of vyavaharam, and from your bhava surubha, bhava matra surubha, that means objects which is in the form of bhavam inside, this namarupam, you are continuously absorbed with. And that is called samsara existence, samsara. Once again, with the mind, with the words, in the form of vyavaharam, what is existing inside the mind is bhavam, bhava matram. All the namarupas are coming out, and that you are handling, dealing with that in this world, and that is called samsara. Much more precise, that is a statement. If you can keep all those things in your mind and you look at our own life, you can see that is the truth. With the mind and the words, in the form of vyavaharam, in the form of vyavaharam, object what is inside me in the form of bhavam, bhavamatra surubena. And those namarupam which are inside in the form of bhavam, I'm pulling them out, and in the form of words and the mind, I'm analyzing them, and I'm living like that. That is called samsara. In there, Krishna says, there is no good and bad. When you're doing this, there is no good and bad. At that time, good and bad, you are creating inside yourself with your mind. With your mind, you are interpreting that. That particular bhavam inside or namarupam inside, you are interpreting with your mind based on your own ragadvesham, that particular namarupam, and you are saying this is good, this is bad. This is good, this is bad. That's why we have to be a little bit careful, because in this world society will tell you so many things. This is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. Isn't it? But are they right and are they wrong? No. Are they good or are they bad? No. Neither they are good nor they are bad. And that is the view of a person who has gone in the advanced level of the spiritual life. It is one who is in the... You can see all these big politicians. They are fighting each other, isn't it? They have done the wrong thing. They say, Putin has done the wrong thing. We have to punish him. Putin says, no, Obama is responsible. I have to punish him first. So this is their life, living in this dvaitam. Living in this dvaitam. So nothing is bad, nothing is good, and nothing has any real existence. Nothing has any existence either. All vastu is bhavamatram. Bhavana swarupam it is. So, and the reason why this bhavana comes in a person, that is another thing. Bhavamatram, first we have to accept that all namarupam is bhavamatram inside. Now, why, what is the reason behind this bhavam inside? Who creates that? That's created by the false ego. False ego or the mind, you can say, both. False ego and the mind combinedly create this bhavam inside us. And because the cause of the mind is ahankaram, isn't it? Ahankaram is the first one that's born. I am. That takes birth. And then the mind comes. Oh, so the cause of ahankaram, the cause of the mind is ahankaram. For the mind is false ego. And the cause of the false ego is avidya. Avidya inside. And cause of avidya is maya. Cause of avidya is maya. So, from maya, avidya. From avidya, ahankaram. From ahankaram to the mind. From the mind, the three modes of material nature. And in the mind, the three modes of material nature expands. And then the namarupam has come. This is our life in this world. Makes sense, isn't it? What Krishna is saying? Logical. Everything Vedantam is very, very logical. It is not trying to asking you to believe something. But you can see how it the flow inside. That that from Maya comes avidya. Maya gives you avidya. From avidya comes ahankaram. From ahankaram comes the mind. From the mind comes the three modes of material nature. And in the mind, these three modes of material nature expands them. And the namarupam has come from that. And that is what we are living at the moment. So, the artist won't sit quiet, isn't it? Suppose he's got some color paint, different color paints. Then he will go to the high street or the town center. And then he will keep drawing pictures there. And what he does, we notice that after, say, he'll sit there for about a few hours. And people passing by, they put 50 pence, a pound, 20 pence, 10 pence and all that. We look at the hat, and if he feels that he had enough money, he'll get up, wipe out the whole thing. Because he has to clean up, otherwise police will catch him for taking the place. So he clean up the whole place, and then he will go. And then if he wants some more money, he'll go and sit somewhere else, where there's more people passing through. He'll find a place, he'll sit there and make another picture. Isn't it? So, people are coming and looking at it, and they are saying, wow, hey, it looks very good. Says, looks like Tony Blair. Says. similarly, you can see this everywhere in the world. This is a common practice. In the temple also, you will see, they will give different incarnations of Krishna. All pictures drawn, Narasimham, Vamanam, Parashuram. In that form what is present. Similarly the pictures in the books also, in the same way. So, and this usual practice, what you see, that they have this, sometimes they don't have many different colors. They will have one or two colors only. White and black or something like that, depending on their situation. So they will draw these pictures and go and sit there. And so when people come and you have to observe the people who are coming to look at them. And when they look at it, how look at their face at that time, those who are looking at the picture, that the recognition inside. Suppose he was a Labour Party man, he sees a Tony Blair's picture. Or a new labor or whatever. He'll see the picture, he feels reverence inside. My leader. He's drawn my leader's picture. Or if he's a Tory man, if he's Thatcher's photo, they'll say, see that. Oh, Thatcher, my leader, my party leader. All that thoughts will come at that time inside. Because he belongs to that party, isn't it? So he identifies with that. I belong to that party, she is my leader, and he has drawn her picture. So you feel happy, 50p, down, gone, for that. This is what that activity, what's happening at that time. Everything is like that. So all this is bhavana. Bhavana means bhavamatram it is. So only thing is he has succeeded in creating that inside us. By the artist has succeeded in creating that. And that is only possible. Why? How did he able to do that? Because he was able to do that only due to one reason. Reason is, the mind is the same in everybody. I don't know whether you get that point. The mind is the same in everyone. That energy, what comes from the Atma, is the same in everyone. And that's one. There's no so many different energies. One energy it is. And that is the reason, when he drew the picture, it has created similar impressions in so many people. And also it depends on, in that mind, what ragadvesham you have towards that person. But the fact that it is able to create an impression is showing to us that, say, a picture of Blair or anybody for that matter, when you see that picture, it is creating an impression in me. Suppose I don't know anything about him, it won't create any impression in me. But because I have some emotions about him inside my mind, which is the mind, and it is creating positive or negative reactions inside, that is due to the vasana inside. But the fact that it is creating an impression is showing that this thing called mind is one. They are not separate. They are not separate energy. There is one energy called mind which is permeating in everyone's heart, in everyone's inside, which is coming from that same one source, Atma, consciousness, where it is originating from. So, mind is one. Similarly, ahankaram is also one. And but why do we feel that they are all separate? Because of the gross body. Sharira upadhi is separate. Therefore you are feeling mind is separate, ahankaram is separate. Otherwise mind and ahankaram, ego, are not separate. They are one force. They are one force. Mind and the ahankaram is one force. Only body is the one which is separated. So if you have managed to remove that separation what you feel, and if you start, because mind and ahankaram is a part of the subtle body, it's not a part of the gross body. That's where the subtle stulam sushmam difference that is. In stulam, everything is separate. In sushmam, they're all one. Just like when we tell you, for example, that subtle body has got four things, isn't it? Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. These four things are not really four different things. They are one thing. According to the function, we call it as manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. Is it not? Nishyalpiya buddhi, sangalpa vikalpa mana, vasana is chittam. Like this, four different, it is not a gross thing, it's a subtle thing. And there is one vastu feeling inside or one object inside, which is we call as a subtle body. In that subtle body, these four functions are happening. But the power that runs, the power package for running that subtle body is one. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam is all happening in different situations. They are operating. But that force behind that is one. That much we have to accept. There is no other way. And that is why, but we are thinking that because everything is separate due to the gross body. On a gross level, we are separate. We are separate. But on a subtle level, we are not separate. It's the same mind that is in me, is in you, in everybody. It's the same mind. But according to our vasanas, we will receive them, we will interpret them. And the vasanas is three modes of nature. The variations comes from that. So, therefore, while doing, we are now dealing with the subtle body. Gross body, we are not worried about that. Because gross body will go one day. Nothing to worry about it. It'll go. Subtle body won't leave you. That is the problem. That is why we are worried about the subtle body. Gross body, why worry? It'll go one day anyway. So it doesn't have to worry about it. But it is a subtle body which is the cause of the next body. Therefore, we are worried about the subtle body. So Krishna is saying here, once you know your swarupam, susarupam, your own identity, and you realize that it is unbroken. And chitta, satta chitta anandam, sachidanandam, nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam, brahmam, that is, then you know that there is only one, there is not many. That's when you know there is not many, there is only one. So, and then you will know that nothing has happened separately from me. Now I am thinking everything is separate, isn't it? He is separate, she is separate, everybody is separate for me now. Because of this gross body. But when you have left this gross body, and you have gone to the subtle body, and you started seeing the oneness in the subtle body, in everything. Angaram is one, mind is one. And similarly Krishna is saying here, that when you come to that, and become a little bit more finer than that, and you start experiencing that this mind, intelligence, ego and everything also is a false thing. The real thing is only Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, eternal, pure, fully conscious and always liberated. That is the pure state of our existence. Our existence in its pure state. Little bit more contaminated state is with the mind, intelligence, ego. And the most contaminated state is this with the gross body. By the time we come to the gross body level, we have all become separate. Separate, separate. By the time you come to the finest level in the spiritual platform, we are one. There is no separate thing existing. And that time you realize that mind has gone, ahankaram has gone away, and what they say, for the soul, the two jewelry it has got. It has got some jewelry, mind and the ego. That's its jewelry. For them. And because this jewelry is important in self-realization, that we refer to as avidya or maya. Avidya or maya. Maya, avidya, ahangaram, mind, three modes of material nature and namarupam. This is that sequence what we have spoken before. So, once the namarupam goes away from inside, and once the namarupam disappears outside also, the mind becomes like the sky, completely pure, and swacham. Swacham means it's steady, very steady. No more thought waves there, and it's so pure, like the sky. That means tatobodham has happened. He has realized the truth. And when he closes his eyes, he will see light inside. When he closes the eyes. And because all the namarupams have gone away and only the Atma is present inside the eye as well. When he closes the eye, now we close the eye, all darkness, isn't it? But when namarupams have gone away, because only Atma is inside then Atma will show its power even in the senses, it will manifest. It will manifest in the senses. And in due course, when the ahankaram also gets dissolved, and in that process, and then ahankaram goes and dissolves in the avidya. Avidya dissolves in the maya. And when that happens, Krishna is saying, if 1,000 suns appears in the horizon, and it will be that brilliant inside. Just like thousands of suns have appeared in the sky, how brilliant it will be, to that extent, inside Atma will shine. Akhandananda, Sachidanandam, Nityashuddha Bhukta Swarupam, Anandakhana Swarupam, pure knowledge will come. Vadandida Tattavidam, Tattvam Yajnanam, Advayam. Advayajnanam will come inside. And that will be inside without any obstacles, and without any curtain, or without any screen, and it is present in everywhere. At that time, you will come to the state that you have no more experience of anything else. That state is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Nirvikalpa means there is no Vikalpam anymore. Vikalpa means that bringing different thoughts again about this object, this Namarupam, that Namarupam, and Ragadvesham from that. That's all Vikalpam. So, when you come to that Nirvikalpam state, that if you, at that stage, if you start seeing something and experiencing something separately, that means it's become Vikalpam. It has come to Vikalpam. So, in this way, Vikalpam, Avikalpam will be there for some time. Finally, all the Vikalpam, gradually, all the Vikalpam will go and you come to the state of pure Nirvikalpam state. When you come to the Nirvikalpam state, then you won't even know that the body is existing. Your body could be there still, but the body in your experience, the body is not there. Body is not there. Nirvikalpa Samadhi, it is called. It is in the Bhagavatam mentioned about Rishabhadev. Remember? Rishabhadev, you know, he was a king, wasn't it? Famous king he was. And after he instructed 100 sons about the knowledge of the self, spiritual knowledge, self-realization, he decided to hand over the kingdom to Bharata, Emperor Bharata, who became Jatabharata later. So, when he was leaving the palace, he threw away all his clothes and he put one stone in the mouth and he started walking. Children, actually children have the nature to have fun. They thought a crazy man is coming. Crazy man is coming. And no clothes on, a stone in the mouth and walking, the king. So after some time, they started throwing stones at him. Children like this kind of fun, isn't it? And he is not saying anything. He's not speaking because he deliberately put the stone inside not to speak anything. So he is walking out and they started throwing water at him and trying to intimidate him in some way. That's what children's fun. When they see the dog, they do the same thing. In India, it's quite common, that is, teasing the dog or teasing some crazy people. They get some little... Here everything is so controlled, you can't do anything here. But in the tropical weather, you can do all these things. Here you are running home as quickly as possible to escape from the cold weather. But then the tropical, our children are all the time playing outside. They are looking for trouble somewhere, something. So any object that comes on the way, it's fine for them. If they have nothing else to do, they'll sit there. If anybody passes through, one will make a comment, the other one will make another comment, and they will have some fun about it. If they can't get anything else. So the children's nature, the boys, especially if they have no work to do, teenagers, they'll be absorbed in all these things. So our Rishabhadev is going, and they were trying to intimidate him. They thought he's not going to protest. They thought he's crazy. That's the first thing they thought. So crazy person, they enjoy more to have fun with him. So they started throwing water at him, sand and dust at him, and so many things at him. He was not saying one word because he was not conscious of his own body. He was not conscious of his own body. This Nirvikalpa state has come to him. Shubramashi talks about that, about him. Nirvikalpa state it was. No Vikalpam inside. He didn't even know that the world was existing. To that extent, he has gone out of the world. He has gone out of the world to that extent that he didn't know that the world was existing. Nirvikalpam state, it is called. So, and what Shukabrahmashri is telling us, that state is our natural state, not this state where we are now. Now we are thinking this is our... We say this is the natural thing. This is not natural state. That Nirvikalpa state is our natural state. Because it is in that state alone you have knowledge. And liberation. Liberation and knowledge is in that state. Not now. And this is not a natural state. So instead what we have done is whatever that has... come to us, accepted all that, the gross body, the subtle body, everything. And you are also now thinking that, you see, our Maya, imagine this, we are now sitting in this body and living like this, isn't it? And we are thinking, one day, the Krishna will send me a message, now you are come back to my spiritual world, you are liberated now. Just like an email or something like that, it will come. Because you have done so much service, I want you to come back now to the spiritual world. This is our head working in that way, about liberation. No, liberation has to happen here. If it has not happened here, rest of the things, nobody is giving it. Shukam Brahmashri is not giving any guarantee after death what will happen. You can imagine something in your mind and feel satisfied. That's also bhava matram it is. In bhavana, you can imagine anything. But what Krishna is saying here is that it is not something that you have to get it later or somebody has to bring it and deliver it to you. Jivan Mukti is not a state like that. Jivan Mukti has to happen like the way it happened to Rishabhadev, like the way it happened to Jadabharata, like the way it happened to Shukabrahmarshi, like the way it happened to Parikshit, like the way it happened to Dattatreya, and so many others in the Bhagavadam. It has to happen here. Then you can take it for granted. It has happened. It has come. Otherwise, it is not guaranteed. So, so whatever we are experiencing now, how did they all come about in this way today? Because these things has to go, and so Swarupa Anubhuti, experience of the self or self-realization has to happen, and that is a necessity of life. That is a goal in this life. Everything else is what Krishna is saying here, that coming from Maya. Maya Mayam. And that is all it is. It says here that Mayam Prapnoti. Everything else is Maya. Mayam Prapnoti Mrityumva Tadvam Nanarthadrak Puman. He says Tadvam Nanarthadrak Puman. Mayam Prapnoti. All what you are going through at the moment is nothing but the world of Maya. The world of Maya you are enjoying. So, so basically Krishna has spoken. If you have understood all what we have spoken so far, what Krishna is saying is, between these three states, which one? Vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep state, there is no difference at all. As far as effect is concerned, they are all equally illusion. Illusion is Maya. It's Maya. It's not that Krishna is not saying vacant state is real, dream state and deep sleep is Maya. He has not said that. He is saying vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep, all of them are Maya. How far we accept that, that's up to us. But that's the way Krishna is saying here. So, so knowing the three modes of material nature, because of three modes of material nature, only these three states have come. From vacant state, from the Satugunam came the mode of goodness, came the waking state. Mode of passion came the dream state. And mode of ignorance came the deep sleep. That's how these three states have come to us. All the three gunams are in us. That is why these three states are coming to us all the time. So, suppose the three modes of material nature has left you completely, then the three states will also leave you. You will never be any more in these three states. Suppose the three modes of material nature has completely left you, then these three states of existence also will go. That is why they say that the more your satugunam is built up, you will be more awake in the vacant state. The more rajogunam is built up, you will be more in the dream state. The more the deep sleep, tamogunam has built up, you will get more deep sleep. Even in the Bhagavatam classes, you will get very good sleep. Even there, you will get it. One is called gunatrayam. Which one? Satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is called gunatrayam. Jagrat, swapnam, sushupti is called avastatrayam. So, if gunatrayam goes away, avastatrayam goes away. If gunatrayam goes away, avastatrayam goes away along with that. Suppose you are convinced about this, you have accepted this, then Krishna is saying, Kim Badram, Kim Abhadram Va. All what Krishna has spoken. Kim Badram, Kim Abhadram Va. Doidasya Avastuna Kiyat. Vajodidam Tadanradam Manaso Dhyatam Eva Va. In other words, this Namarupam, because they are Avastu, they are all Avastu. Avastu means there is no satta. Remember this word, Satta? There is no Satta in there. Just like the picture that the artist has drawn on the floor, you have accepted that as the form. What it is, the color, what has been used for the picture is what Krishna calls it as kalpana matram. It's only a kalpana, imagination that is created inside. Vastu satta is not there. Vastu satta is not there. Rather, it is only bhava matram. Bhava sarupam it is. It is not vastu sarupam. It is bhava matram. It is not vastu sarupam. So, and you can see that bhavam, what it creates, as soon as you mix the color powder from the picture what he has drawn, if you mix all the color powder together, bhavam has gone. Is it not? Once he has put the color in such a way that it creates that impression inside me that this is Blair or this is Thatcher, whoever it is. And then when he mixes all the colors together, what I was thinking is Blair or Thatcher, that's gone from inside. From inside it is gone. So Krishna is saying, in the same way, in every padartham, in all the three states, you are perceiving in the same way. All the three states, you are perceiving in the same way. That means, these things, see this, that in the three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, all the objects, what you are experiencing there, in the Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, is all based on the indriyam, senses. Based on the senses. See, the what you are, says you are experiencing something in the vacant state, in a gross level, a person or an object. And it is the same thing, in the dream state, little bit more subtle level you are experiencing. Vastu is the same. But in the Jagrat state, you have experienced in a particular way, through senses. Say I am seeing few people, I am seeing through my senses and seeing the names and forms here. I go into the dream, go to sleep, and I started dreaming all of you are present in the dream. These same persons in the dream also, I am perceiving them. Only thing is, little bit more subtle. Not as gross as in the vacant state. In a subtle level, I am seeing you all in the dream state. And in the Sushupti state, when I go into the deep sleep state, these forms are not there, which has become more subtle then. That's why form is not there anymore. Krishna is trying to make us understand that what you are seeing in the vacant state is the most gross form. When you come to the dream state, that gross form has gone away, it has become subtle. In the deep sleep state, it has become so subtle that the form itself is not manifesting. But the vastu is still there, but it's not manifesting. How do you know the vastu is still there? Because vastu is still in the mind. Mind is dissolved, but it has not gone away. Because in the morning when you get a vastu, mind comes back, vastu comes back in the form of bhavam again. So it has not gone. So Krishna is only trying to tell us that there is no difference between vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. They are all the different asides in a difference on the degree of grossness. The more gross it is in the vacant state. Little subtle is in the dream state and in the most subtle form in the deep sleep state. So in these three states, what you are experiencing is your avidya inside. My own avidya inside, ajnanam or avidya inside, that is what I am experiencing in three different states. Vedantam is so fantastic if you study it. How intelligent these people are, you will be amazed by their analysis of these things. But to come to that, we need the purity inside us. That is why we don't understand it and we reject it, because we are so gross. That's where the problem is. Not there, not the problem with the Krishna's instructions. That what they are saying is that same ajnanam in me, the avidya in me, in three different ways, I am experiencing in these three different states. You see that? Ajnanam, avidya in me is strong. That has not gone away. And I'm experiencing that avidya in three different states, in three different forms. That is how we have to understand these three states. Jagrat, Svapnam, Sushupti. Avasthatrayam, you have to understand like that. Not like the way the science is telling us vacant state is real and dream state is not real and deep sleep is all good for the health. This is their analysis. What kind of analysis is that? How do you go along with all these things? Total rubbish, isn't it? What they know, what they so far, what we have, I have read about what the scientists have to say. They say if you sleep 10 hours in deep sleep, then, or 2 hours deep sleep is more than enough, then it will recuperate all your energy. From the bodily level you can look at, but behind this vacant state, dream state and deep sleep, there is a huge science Krishna is presenting to us. He's saying to us, the avidya inside in your karana shariram, that is what you are experiencing in the subtle body and through your gross body. But in three different levels you are experiencing in three different states. In the gross body, in the vacant state, you are experiencing that in conjunction with the mind. When you go into the dream state, the same avidya, ajnanam inside, is you are experiencing it in a different form, in a subtle level, in the mind. And when you go into the deep sleep state, avidya is still there, it hasn't gone. But you are not experiencing it, because by now, the medium for experiencing it, like the body and the mind and the senses, has all been shut down. That means you have become more finer, or more subtle, it has become. More subtly it has become. But otherwise, Krishna is saying, practically between these three states, there is no difference at all. You are still living in the same world of avidya in both vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. That's all. It is. That's the important point. That's why these verses are, if you analyze it and if you read the Vedantic texts, whether they have explained about this, these are the source behind that, these verses. It is from this, jnanis have grown and realized the truth, isn't it? So, you can imagine the potency of these verses. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asandopi arthakarinaha evam dehadeyo bhava yachandya mrityado bhayam. Krishna says here. So, therefore, you can see here that trigunam, the three modes of material nature, when they go, then if the trigunam has gone, then you will come to that state. Which state? Turiyam. The fourth state. At least we accept there is a fourth state. Where in the Bhagavatam, where does it say about this fourth state? Have you looked at that? Where is that? Shamigarishi. What is that boy's name? Shringi. Shringi's father. Was sitting and he was in that fourth state. Isn't it? Was in the fourth state. It was then that our Parishit Maharaj went with the dead snake. Parishit didn't know. Parishit thought that he was trying to act as though he doesn't know. He doesn't want to do anything for me, doesn't want to bring water for me. And he was thirsty, and that was the only ashram that was present there. In the forest. And Shamigrishi was there, Shringi was playing with other children somewhere else. So Parishit Maharaj took this dead snake, took it with his bow, put it around his neck 2-3 times, and the snake, dead snake, is hanging there. He didn't know about it. Who? Shamigrishi didn't know about it, that he has done this. Why? Because he was not in the three states. He is gone. If you look at the verse, you will see very clearly mentioned there. Then Shringi comes later. He sees this dead snake in the neck. When he saw the dead snake, he got a little shaken. He thought, who has done this to my father? He couldn't believe that such a thing, somebody could do it to him. He cried, small child. When he cried, he woke up. Sudha Goswami says, when he put the snake, he didn't wake up. When the child cried, he woke up. What's the reason behind it? Krishna. No other reason. Krishna. Krishna decided he should wake up now and come to the three states again back. So in Bhagavatam all these are important incidents, because it's from there you get an understanding of these things better. So that Tviriya Avastha, that is the state where he was in, there what is your existence then? Pure spiritual, purely spiritual, purely conscious of the substance, Satta, Satta Matram, Nirvishesham Niriham, like Devaki Devi says about Krishna, as pure Swarupam, and Drashtava Drishyam, the seer and the seen, that has gone, and person who is seeing and person who is not seeing, a person, object you are seeing, that has gone away, only Vastu is remaining. What is the Vastu? Atma. Atma is the Vastu. Vastu Swarupam. And if you come to that state, that is called Vidya or Jnanam. When you come to Drashtava Drishyam, when you come to this state of Avidya, what you are experiencing in the three states of vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, then it is the Avidya state. When you come to this state, that means where there is no Drashtava and Drishyam, and purely the knowledge or Satta, Swarupam alone, when that Bhavam comes, that is called knowledge or Vidya. So, and when you are situated in the Vastu Swarupam, situated as the Vastu Swarupam, and you are not experiencing anything else in this world, in this creation, that situation is called Nirvikalpam. No Vikalpam there at that point. All the Vikalpam has gone away, and if you are simply situated as the Vastu Matra Swarupam, only as the Vastu Swarupam, at that time, if you are only situated as the Vastu Swarupam, there is only one thing present there, Anandam. Anandam, or happiness. Jnana Swarupam. That means he has realized that his identity is knowledge. What Bhagavatam says is that Tattvam Yat Jnanam Advayam. Advayam. That is our Swarupam. That is our Swarupam. Jnanam means what? Knowledge, isn't it? Knowledge. So, if there is objects to be known, then how will it become action? How will it turn into action? Because pravritti, it will not become pravritti swarupam. It is jnana swarupam. You have to differentiate between the two. Jnana swarupam means that it is only in your awareness. Jnana swarupam. Pravritti swarupam means that it has gone into the senses and the body. Then it has become pravritti swarupam. Jnana swarupam means it's only in the awareness. That's why in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna said about this Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam, he mentions there, isn't it? So Jnanam nature is that unless there is Jnanam, Karmam cannot happen. But Jnanam can exist without Karmam. Karmam cannot exist without Jnanam. They can coexist. But if Karmam can stop, Jnanam can still exist. So Jnanam, that Jnanam or Anandam or bliss, what is experienced there, in order that to express, the person has to be there. Person has to be there. So suppose there is nobody to express that outside, then it will not come out. It will not come out. Suppose if the person is there, only then you will notice these things. Jnanam, when you become Jnana Swarupam, then you won't, unless a person is there, body is there, senses, the mind is there, you won't notice it, isn't it? Because it's a not perceived by the ignorant like us. We won't perceive that. But that state, when you have no body, you have no senses, but pure consciousness in that state, it's one of the most amazing situation. No vikalpam, and at the same time, but only problem is in that, if he is in that state, if a person has come to pure state of knowledge, then he won't be able to talk about it to somebody else. He will remain in that state, but nobody else will be able to get benefited from that. So therefore, they give this example that just like the salt mountain, it has gone into the ocean to measure the depth of the salt mountain, and it does not know the nature of the salt mountain. But similarly, there when it goes inside the water, it got dissolved and joined there. Similarly, Prithvi, earth and the water. Earth gets dissolved in the water, only water remains then. Yadha nadi syandamanaha. Chandokya Upanishad is saying this. Like the river goes into the water and dissolves there. Similarly, we also, when all the Namarupam has gone away, Namarupam Vihaya, this verse is there in the Upanishads. Namarupam Vihaya is like the river, when it flows continuously and goes and joins the ocean. And finally, the rivers and the ocean becomes one. Similarly, we have, who have got rid of all the Namarupam from inside, the modes of nature from inside, and that person has become inward-looking, and attention has realized who he is, that knowledge has come to him. For such a person, him and him, absolute truth, they have all become one for him. That person who has removed all the Namarupam from inside or the Maya from inside, pure knowledge only is present in him, and that person has become one with the Paratattvam. Because this chapter is only talking about that, Paratattvam. At that point, Drashtava, Bhoktava, Shrotava. Drashtava means the seer. Bhoktava means the enjoyer. Shrotava means the listener. In three different ways we are represented there. And all the vyavaharam associated with that has all gone. Has all gone. And what remains is there, that's one thing. Akhandam, Advayam, Satamatram, Sachidanandam, that knowledge alone or Brahmam alone remains. Brahmam alone remains. That is what is mentioned here. So, when we analyze that verse, Vadandida Tattvavidam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam, you have to go that far into this. Otherwise, simply saying that it's knowledge is no good. But when you say Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam, Advayajnanam, what does Advayajnanam mean? This. That Namarupams have all gone from inside, Trigunam has all completely gone from inside, and because it has become so pure inside, there is no mind, and that peculiar situation, that only bliss exists inside. Only bliss, anandam. But there is not a person to express that bliss to the world. There's no personality there to express that. In other words, to such an extent, it has gone closer with the absolute truth. Paratattvam and him has become one at that stage. And he's saying here, that there is nobody to see or to talk about it. The person is not there anymore. And that is called Vastu Swarupam. There it is, Vastu Matra Swarupam. That is the only Vastu real. All other ones is Avastu. Remember this? Vastu Swarupam. Vastu Swarupam we kept saying. Everything else is Avastu. When you got to that state, as pure knowledge in this creation, purely remaining in the knowledge state. But there is nobody to express that. There is no form to show it to the world. There is no speaking, there is no hearing, nothing. Purely in the state of knowledge or consciousness it remains. And in that state, Krishna is saying here that he has become Brahmam. He has become Brahmam. There is nobody to speak about it and see about it. No person is not there anymore. And that has become Vastumatra Swarupam. And then after that, even if by chance a memory of the creation comes back to him, he can only think about it as Avastu. At that time, even if a memory of this world comes to that knowledge, it will be looked upon as Avastu, not as Vastu, because he has become Vastu. Because he has become Vastumatra Swarupam. Therefore, when the world comes back, if it does come back, it is Avastu for him. It's Avastu for him. So, that is important thing. So, which means, Avastu means, he knows that it doesn't exist. It has no genuine existence. And, so, in order that to happen, the mind has to move, isn't it? So, only when the mind moves, you will see the world. Existence of the world will come to you. So, that is our natural state of existence, Krishna is saying, that there is no vastu-matra-svarupam, that is our pure existence. And in order to go there, and when you come to that state, there is nothing else existing here, you don't have to bring this from anywhere else. And it cannot be manufactured. And it is not something somebody has to give it to you. And it is not something you have to get after working very hard. It is our natural surupam. Natural surupam it is. Which one? This jnana surupam or vastu surupam or advaya jnanam. It is called. Everything else is covering that our surupam. And all what we are doing in spiritual life is removing that coverage in us. And whatever knowledge is required to remove that coverage from inside, to that extent you have to keep accepting this injunction, instructions. And the more that ajnanam, which is covering that jnanam, our surupam, the more that ajnanam goes away, Krishna is saying, when all the ajnanam has goes away, kim badram kim abadram va, good and bad, ragam and dvesham, everything will go at that time, when you come to that state. And satamatram, you will become that satta anibhuti, that experience and realization of the bliss absolute. A state will come and you will realize that my pure identity is knowledge, which is solidified in the form of bliss. In the form of bliss. Therefore, Satta Chitta Anandam. Satta Chitta Anandam. That Anandam factor will manifest strongly at that time. And you will also realize that there is no such thing called I exist in the ego level. I doesn't exist. Personality goes away at that time. And what remaining is only bliss. What remains is only bliss. And that bliss is full of knowledge. That bliss that is remaining there is full of knowledge. And it is eternal. And it is Chaitanyam, living force. Viryam, Prabhavam, Anandam, Jnanam. All these things are present in that existence. And only that is the perfect thing in all these things. And except that, nothing else is existing here in reality. Na sado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayomara vidrashtandam stanayo tattu darshivi. That is the principle, what Krishna is saying here. That there is only satta, and that satta is only this jnanam, brahmam, anandam, bliss, whatever way we address that. And that is the state of the Jivan Mukta, one who is liberated in this world. And that is our natural state. That Jivan Mukta state is our natural state. To understand this, and to remove all that curtains that's blocking that, removing them, that is what we have to do in this world. That's our job here, in this world. And human body, Krishna is saying, has been given to us for that purpose. For that purpose. And that means, whatever we speak with the words, whatever we think with the mind, and whatever you are talking about it now, and thinking about it, all of them, Krishna said this in the last verse, it's a false thing, lie. Krishna says it's really mithya. It is mithya. So, say that, kim badram kim abadram va, dvaidasya avastana kiyal. Vachodidam tadamurdam manasadhyatam evacha. And then, chaya pratyahoya bhasa asandopyartha karina evam dehadeyo bhava echandya amrityodobhayam. So, chaya pratyahoya bhasa means that chaya means shade, shadow. Chaya pratyahoya means that it creates a perception in us about a shadow, about the shadow. For example, cinema, photograph, all these are chaya pratyahoyam. That means it creates a impression in us, isn't it? A pratiti, perception in us. And what it does is, it creates a shadow enough of a person, a photograph like that. It creates a shadow inside my mind, like the cinema. And he's saying here, in that from there, various thoughts are coming to me. So, chaya pratyahoya abhasam. This chaya pratyahoyam, it's abhasam. Abhasam means that suppose you have a photograph of somebody, and that photograph, you're looking at it, and it, that creates certain thought waves inside about that person. You have some feelings inside for that person in some way, positive or negative. So that is called abhasam. Chaya pratyahoyam is the shadow, like this photograph or cinema. That is chaya pratyahoyam. It is a chaya. That chaya pratyahoyam's abhasam is what you are experiencing inside. And sound also, it has its own echoes on us in the same way. Similarly, photographs, it creates certain impressions in us. So, a sound that has happened far away somewhere, if it echoes here, and if it comes to you now, some sound which has happened far away, if it echoes and comes to you, and that will have some effect in you at that time, isn't it? So, similarly, the shadow also of some photo or some event in the picture when you look at it, that's also creating some impression inside you. And that is what is called chaya pratyahoya abhasam. So, when it creates that abhasam inside, effect inside, sometimes you like it. You are saying, it's very nice. First class, you say like that. And you feel happy about it. You are enjoying it. Sometimes you don't like it, it didn't come out very well, or it looks horrible, and you are saying that, I don't want to look at it anymore. So you see, chaya pratyahoyas abhasam is able to create these waves inside our mind. And I am saying that when I look at that, and I saw that photo, I didn't like it, I don't want to look at it anymore, I close my eyes. So, if I look at that photo, I get frightened or I'm feeling irritated about it. So, this bhavam changes in the bhavam. While looking at a shadow, it is creating that inside us. Chaya pratyuhaya abhasam, what is creating in us, said, has it got any reality there? It doesn't have any reality, isn't it? By seeing a photo, if you looked at it and you are able to have its impact in the mind, abhasam, it creates inside the mind. Chaya pratyahaya abhasam. Krishna is saying, asandopi arthakarinaha. He is saying here. So, is there any truthfulness in there? Even though it has no truthfulness, that picture, it is still able to create the emotions inside you. Is it not? It's able to create the emotions inside you. Similarly, Krishna is saying, all namarupam in this world does this to you. It has no reality, but it is able to create emotions inside us. You know this chapter, You got to sit and read and think about it. And you will like it. Because this is another understanding, completely different from the way we have been brought up. Isn't it? The more normal way, who thinks like this? Like the way Krishna is saying. Who explains to us thing called a Namarupam? We are more interested whether it is Mr. or Mrs. or Miss or what. That's what we are arguing about, isn't it? We should put MS or we should put Miss or what. This is our worry. Krishna is saying that Namarupam, why you give so much importance to it? It's a Namarupam at the end. And Namarupam will create this bhavam inside. And if a chaya pratyahaya bhasam, a shadow of a picture, can create emotions inside you, this Namarupam alone is creating the emotions, and there is no satyatvam in that. There is no truth in any of these things. So sometimes you can see, you suddenly hear a sound echo. If the sound is very heavy, then you get suddenly a shock you get, isn't it? So, what's the reason for that shock? You get it? Because that sound, what has come, you believe that it is the truth. You accepted that it is a truth. As far as it's only what has happened is, it came through the senses and gave you an impression in the mind that something is happening. And that's after effect of that is you have shaken because of that. So, similarly, that this is again important, that all these things, which is not the truth, you are thinking that all of them is the truth. All what you hear is not the truth, and you think that everything what you hear is the truth. And we are sitting like this in this world. Krishna's point is, those people who think that whatever they see is the truth, and whatever they hear is the truth, I have nothing more to say to them. Krishna is saying that. I don't have anything more to say to them. And this is our problem. Our sciences made us to believe that, isn't that? Only if you see, you will believe it. He says, don't trust anything what you see. That's Krishna's point. Science is telling us, seeing is believing. Show me, they say, isn't it? They say, show me. Show me through experiments. Prove it to me. Science is saying. Krishna is saying, there is nothing to be proven here. There's nothing I can show you here because they don't even exist. That's Krishna's point. So, but it's up to us whom we want to follow. That choice is left to us. Do you want to follow science or do you want to follow Krishna's Ekadasya Skandha? So, those people who are affected when they come into contact with the objects which is not the truth, which is not truthful. And the after effect of those objects is creating in them in some form or the other. And ordinary people who gets inspired, emotional, excited about it, for such person, everything is the result of this chaya pratyahaya bhasam. It's abhasam and it's a pratidhi, Krishna is saying. So abhavam, that abhasam means shadow of the shadow. So the effect it has created inside you is the shadow of the shadow, is it not? The picture itself is a shadow, and the effect of that inside you is the shadow of this picture. So the shadow of the origin, the shadow, and its shadow is what you are carrying, and you are getting affected so much by that. Chaya pratyahaya bhasa, Krishna said. Krishna wants to talk only about the, in that level, about the truth. Doesn't want to talk about Maya. What's the point in discussing Maya? And because Krishna knows what is Maya, he is able to say these things to us. He is the controller of Maya. And he knows what is in the Maya, what is outside Maya. And so long as we don't come to clearly understand these statements, what Krishna has spoken in this chapter, we will remain in Maya. Only when these are realized, Krishna says, you have come out of Maya. So, shadow of the shadow, that is what it means. Chaya pratyahaya bhasam. So, just like cinema is a shadow already. And that cinema is creating some feeling in me, Sometimes we go and sit in the cinema. Some good cinemas we watch. Sometimes you go two times, three times and watch the same movie. There are certain, when we were children, we were watching like that because there was no other entertainment. They said movie was everything. So all cinema theaters were full. There was a, what they call morning show, then matinee, and then first show, and then the second show. So that means four shows. And in them days, those films were such that Bollywood and Hollywood and all were not there so much. Most of the movies came from outside. Western movies, from the American cowboy movies and all that. and they were not long movies. Indian movies are 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours sometimes it goes. Because the story never ends. The Western movies are a couple of hours. It'll be finished and gone. So that means you can sit there, go and see first one, first time, and then you want to see it again. Why? You felt so good. Some of the actors, how they acted in that. And only a few movies as a longer time. So whatever way you collect some funds and go for the movie and enjoy that for two, three times, isn't it? Chaya pratyahaya bhasam. Krishna is saying that. So shadow of the shadow is what you are enjoying so much. If shadow of the shadow, shadow of the shadow if you are enjoying so much, what about the original when it happens? That is the point there, Krishna is saying here. So, so when you are seeing one photo, which has taken the photo of something else, and it is expanding that, and from there, you are getting emotions and excitement. And Krishna is saying here, that asandopya arthakarinam. Asandopya arthakarinam. And if that is able to create so much of falsity inside us, how fallen he is, Krishna is saying. Asandopya arthakarinam. Chaya pratyuhaya bhasam asandopya arthakarinam. If he is able to accept as real inside him, what Krishna is saying to us is, look, you are thinking you have understood, you have accepted the right thing. But look at your own stupidity. By seeing the shadow of a shadow, if you are affected so much, if you are affected so much, do you really trust your judgment? Can you really trust your own judgment? Everything we are thinking in terms of my brain and my mind, isn't it? What he is saying to us is, you are seeing something, and it has some photographs and pictures in cinema. If that is creating such a strong emotions and excitement in you, then do you really trust your judgment on anything for that matter? Because after all, they are all things what Maya has thrown in front of you, and photograph is Maya's first expansion, and the second expansion of that Maya is what you are experiencing inside. So Maya, Avidya, Ahankaram, mind, three modes of material nature, senses. Then through the senses you are seeing them, and you are hearing them, and it is the experience of all this, that is what you are living in this world with. Maya, first. Avidya follows. Ahankaram follows that. Mind follows that. Three modes of material nature follows that. Senses follows that. And with these senses you are hearing and seeing things. And then all the perceptions you are coming. And this is what is happening here. That is what Krishna is using that word. Chaya pratyuhaya bhasam. That means how many times it has come through now? Shadow of the shadow of the shadow of the shadow of the shadow. That is coming and hitting you and you are getting affected by that. Each one of these creating a shadow. Which one? Maya creates the first shadow. Avidya creates the next shadow. Ahankaram creates the next shadow. Mind creates the next shadow. Trigunam creates the next shadow. Senses creates the next shadow. And then it comes through the senses, it comes to you. And you are accepting that as the truth. We leave it. We'll discuss it after break.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakai dava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purna amrita swadanam sarvatma svabanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sangeetanam Namna Magari Bahuda Vija Sarva Shakti Idani Amida Smaranena Kala Eda Drishita Vakrupa Bhagavan Mamavi
ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാനുരാഗാഹം സനാദമിഷണീചേനൂരഭി സഹിഷ്ണുരാ അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരീം ന ധനം ന ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാചകടീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനി ഈശ്വരീ ഭവദാത് ഭക്തിരഹേതുകി ത്വയി ഐ നന്ദതനൂജകിങ്കരാം പതിതാമാം ശമേ ഭവാംബുധൌ കൃപയാ തവ പാദ പങ്കജസ്ഥിതധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാം നയനം ഗളദശ്രുധാരയാ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിരാ പുളകൈർനിജിതം ഗദാവഭോ തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായിദം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിദം ശൂന്യായിദം ജഗത്സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം വിനഷ്ടുമം അദർശനാമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദദാദുലംബനോ മൻപ്രാണനാഥാ സുമദേവനാപരാ ഛായ പ്രത്യോഹ്വയാഭാസം അസന്തോപ്യർത്ഥകാരിണാഹ ഏവം ദേഹാദയോ ഭാവ യച്ഛന്ത്യാ മൃത്യുതോ ഭയം. കൃഷ്ണ സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് വെൻ ദ ഒറിജിനൽ വസ്തു, വെൻ ഇറ്റ് കംസ് ത്രൂ സോ മെനി ഡിഫറെന്റ് സ്ക്രീൻസ്, shadow after shadow after shadow, and finally it comes inside us and it creates excitement, emotions inside me. And you know what Krishna is saying to us, that if an emotion, such strong emotions are coming after the truth has gone through so many different screens and came and created this emotion inside, how deep that asatya abhinivesham. See that word? First, second verse? Asatya abhinivesham. Asatya abhinivesham means how deep that ignorance inside the person is. It's a very heavy statement. Evam dehadayo bhava yachandyo mrityudo bhayam. He says, chaya pratyohaya bhasam asando pyarthagarina. He is thinking he has got the truth, he knows the truth. But if it is creating that, you can see this in scientific experiments if you look at. See, they send all these satellites and other things to take photographs, isn't it, in the space. They go to these big, big planets like Saturn's photo and Mars photo, and they leave these their space stations there to regularly send photographs from there. And when the photographs come here, looking at the photographs, we are interpreting the conditions there. Are we not? That's what the scientist is doing. Looking at those photographs there, what they're sent here, we are looking at that photos and interpreting the conditions there. And this is how they have interpreted the moon also in the beginning. Everything is interpretation. Krishna's point is, you will never get to know the truth when it goes through something else. It cannot. It has to be directly experienced by yourself, only then it is the truth. In your awareness, in experience, if it's not happening, it is not the truth. That is why that verse in the Bhagavad Gita is so important. Nasato vidyate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate sada. Is everything is bhavam, bhavam, bhavam. One bhavam, it comes into another bhavam, it comes to another bhavam, and finally it creates a one bhavam inside me. And this bhavam is not the original. It will never have the experience of the original. It's only a bhavam at the end. So, nasato vidyate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate sada. Bhayorami drishtvandam stanayor tatu darshibhi. So, the point here is, chaya pratihvaya bhasam, abhasam it is. Chaya pratihvaya abhasam. So, Krishna's point is that, if all these impressions finally, if it is creating emotions in you, how deep-rooted is your ignorance? That is the question. That asatya abhiniveshada, he said that word, isn't it? Asatya abhiniveshada means deep-rooted affinity towards the untruth, towards the false thing. Deep-rooted affinity towards the false thing. Towards the truth. So, look at this way, he says, this is here, that Brahman, when it is reflecting in the Maya, is Jiva, isn't it? So, Brahma Pradibimbam is Maya. Maya itself is a reflection of the Brahma. Maya itself is a reflection of the Brahma. Maya itself is a reflection of the Brahma. And Maya is reflecting all the other things afterwards. Which one? What we saw? Ahankaram. Trigunam, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Then the mind. And then the senses. These are all reflections of the original Maya's reflections. Maya itself is a reflection. It's not real. See that? Maya itself is not real. It's a reflection. And from there it's reflecting further and further through various other mediums. Ahankaram, Trigunam, and the Sattum, Rajasa, Tamasa, and they are different bhavams. And finally it comes through the what Krishna calls it as the for through our own ragadvesham, everything. And it is then that you are in the experience level it's coming. So, Maya, avidya, ahankaram, mind, trigunam, and then the senses. And through the senses you are seeing and you are hearing that. And after experiencing that, you are feeling happy or unhappy. After experiencing that, you are feeling happy or unhappy. Already Maya has cheated you in the first instance. And then sometimes you are feeling happy, sometimes you are frightened, sometimes you are crying, sometimes you are amazed by everything. Sometimes you say, it's amazing, we say. What's amazing? Sometimes people say like that, it's amazing, isn't it? So when we experiencing this world, Krishna is saying, keep all these things understand behind that. So once you know the truth, once you know the truth, experience the truth inside, all these reflections will leave us. The reflections that comes through Maya, Avidya, Ahankaram, mind, Trigunam, and the Indriyam, senses. All these reflections will leave us. So that is why Krishna says that just like when you go and sit in for a drama and you know the person who is acting in the drama. You know who it is. He's acting, say, for example, Duryodhana or Ravana in the drama. He's acting like that. And then when he's acting like Duryodhana or Ravana there in the act. But when he comes out after the drama is over, he has changed his costumes, everything. And then he has come out and you are looking at him. Oh, he was the person who was acting there like Ravana. But when he was acting like Ravana or Duryodhana, you were experiencing Ravana and Duryodhana inside. Seeing it, because the acting was so good. You were experiencing that inside. But when he came back and you saw him in its true color, his original dress, you start thinking that we was doing this Ravana, naturally the thoughts will come inside, isn't it? So, what does that mean? It means that he is able to do certain things which is not his swabhavam, isn't it? That's not his real nature. He has put on the clothes of Ravana and Ravana's swabhavam he is imitating and showing to us. Ravana's personality is projecting to us, isn't it? So, and he is doing that deliberately, with full knowledge. He is deliberately showing it to us. That is called acting. That's called acting. That he is not showing his color. He is actually put on Ravana's dress, and he is projecting to us Ravana's swabhavam or Ravana's nature to us. So that who is doing that? His intelligence. His intelligence, he is able to do that. So why does he show that? Because because he knows that when he is acting that, he has to change his modes of nature. That is why he is able to project it like that. For example, they are called Vikriya. Vikriya means that he able to change his modes of nature. That means if you want to present Ravana properly to the world, you have to be in Rajogunam. Is it not? Ravana is not Sattvagunam. Ravana is Rajogunam. So if the actor is in Sattvagunam, he has to change his gunam to present Ravana to you. He has to act in a such a way that he has to give you this impression in you that all that Rajogunam in Ravana you have to experience. Ravana is a rajasic nature. So if the actor is tamasic or sattvic, whatever it may be, he has to have Rajogunam to present Ravana to you. Otherwise he can't present to him. So whatever vasana he is able to put through then, rajasic vasana what he has got, that will all come through that, at that particular time. Whatever his own vasanas are present in him, rajasic vasana, that will come on top of all other vasanas because he has to present Ravana to you. That is what his intelligence does. Intelligence picks up all his rajasic vasanas and throws it out in front of you to give you that impression of seeing Ravana there. Similarly, that particular person who is acting, whatever dress he has put on or whatever roles he has played before, and he will be able to pull out things from that to produce Ravana for you. Because he must have made many other roles also. He may have acted before. You can see in the movie also, isn't it? Movie also you can see that. Just like you can see the difficulty where it comes. I'll tell you where the problem is. You know that person who acted Gandhi's role in the movie Gandhi? If you observe carefully, he's done a wonderful acting. But because Sattvagunam wasn't there enough, a lot of times Gandhi came out as Rajasic. That you will observe there. If you read about Gandhiji and if you know about Gandhiji's personality well, but although for a person, ordinary person who doesn't know anything about Gandhi, it comes out well. But Sattvagunam is difficult to project. What was his name? Ben Kingsley. When he acted, he was a great actor. He has done very good job. But because Sattvagunam, he doesn't have a clue about Sattvagunam. And that Sattvagunam what was in the Gandhiji did not come out. Even though he got his best Oscar and all that for that. So there is where the difficulty comes. And in Kathakali and other very traditional temple arts, you will see this. That when they have to present Narada Maharshi, for example, Vasishta and all these Parashuram personalities like that, it is not easy. It's not easy. The person who have written about the personality, he has to have that gunam inside to write about him. Otherwise, how do you know? When you want to write Sri Narada Maharshi, you have to have that level of bhakti like Narada Maharshi to present Narada Maharshi properly. It's, of course, you can present it like our drama people do. You can put a nice white beard and a nice, a head scarf and all that. And give him a chanting beads and a beads bag and chanting Hare Krishna and all that. That's all nice. But if you want to really see the Narada Maharshi and its impact in you, Narada Maharshi's personality, that Sattvagunam stage of Narada Maharshi has to come through you, the person who has written or acting, is it not? So both the person who wrote the story or the person who is presenting it, both of them have to have that Sattvagunam to bring it out. Rajasam and Tamasam roles is easier because we have got that plenty inside. We can take it out easily. Sattvikam is difficult. Sattvikam is difficult. So, a lot of that acting is acted success. A lot of it is depending on the vasanas inside that person. Whatever vasana he has got, he will show that in the acting. He will show that in the acting. That is why in some of the ancient temple arts, they have to, these things are spoken first and trained the people in that way. And sometimes the training takes about 16-20 years, certain roles to play. For example, Rukmini's role to play in the Kathakali, the training is given for 12 years to come to that Rukmini's perfection. That feelings and emotions of Rukmini, because Rukmini Swayamvaram is a big topic in the Puranam and in the arts, temple arts also. And when they want to present Rukmini's role, the person who, they will only give it to the extremely sophisticated and advanced persons. And some of them, when they play that role and see Rukmini on the stage, you will see real Rukmini there, real Rukmini present there. So to such an extent, it will create the impact on you. Krishna and Rukmini together, remember that 60th chapter in the Bhagavatam where Krishna and Rukmini are arguing about, Karhichit chapter it's called, one whole chapter. Krishna and Rukmini sitting together, Krishna teasing Rukmini and Rukmini replying back to Krishna. Rukmini's bhakti, Krishna's mood, all these things to bring out, it's not easy. Of course you can put it in whichever way you like it, but you know, nowadays it's made it very simple, everything. They don't understand the subtlety of all these things. So here, that vasana is what is your acting. A person, when he is acting, it is his vasanas that is coming out from inside. Similarly, the vasanas that is inside his buddhi is manifesting from him at that time. And that is what this Namarupam, what you are perceiving inside, is present inside in the form of vasana. Suppose you have studied a personality and you have that image is inside you as Namarupam. How does Namarupam exist inside? In the form of vasana. Is it not? This is the how does a particular personality, for example, you are thinking about Krishna. How do you think about Krishna? Krishna is present inside us. We think about him because what we heard about him from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, what he has spoken about it. And in our, according to our own vasana, we form an image about Krishna with inside us. Is it not? So that is why my Krishna is different than your Krishna. And your Krishna is different than somebody else's Krishna. All Krishnas are different. But one who is very, very gross, one who has no such understanding, he will look at the external form and say, here is Krishna, he is very beautiful, look at this now. And then he will start comparing the external forms and saying, Krishna is beautiful in this form and not so beautiful in the other form. Like we say, Gokulananda is more beautiful than Lankeshwara. Or what is me? But you have not got Krishna, either in this form or that form. Real Krishna is something different. Again, it is Chaya Pratyahaya Bhasam, Asandopyarthakarina. Krishna is asking that question. So, and it is this vasana inside that is manifesting in all your three states, vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep, in three different forms it's manifesting. Vacant state in one form, dream state in another form, and the deep sleep in another form. In the most subtle form of Krishna is in the deep sleep. A little bit grosser in the dream state, and the most gross form in the vacant state. Even in these three states, that is what you are experiencing. So, Krishna is asking that in all these things, where is the truth? Where is the truth in all these things? He is saying here. And there is not even a trace of truth, Krishna says, in any of them. There is not even a trace of truth. And then you are seeing them and it is exciting you. You are getting emotional about it. Emotional. So, all the experiences in this world is nothing but false. Experiences is false. Because one who has realized the truth, Krishna is saying, such a person, when he sees something in this creation, or when he hears something about this creation, fear or distress, anger or ragam or attachment or aversion will never happen to him because he has seen the truth. Remember? What's that verse about the spiritual master? Janina Satudarshina. Tadvidi Pranibadena Pariprasena Sevaya. Upadekshandide Jnanam Janina Satudarshina. Tattvadarshi state is that. Yani, who is Tattvadarshi? This is Tattvadarshana. Tattvadarshana means that he has touched the truth. And therefore, world doesn't exist for him. It doesn't create any emotions or excitement in him. And because he has realized the truth, when he experiences through the senses, it's not creating any emotions inside. Fear or anger or attachment or aversion or distress, none of them is coming to him. Because there's no emotions anymore. Vigaram will not happen. Because vigaram, emotions, is the effect of bhavam. Bhavamatram it is, not satamatram. A realized soul is satamatram. It's not bhavam that is causing him the excitement. Bhavam creates excitement. Satta does not create excitement. Remember that word? Bhavamatram and satamatram, the two differences. Devaki Devi, when she praised Krishna in the prison, what did she say? Satamatram nirvishesham niriham. Three words she has used there. She is saying that it is satamatram, it is not bhavamatram anymore. It is satamatram. Bhavamatram will create emotions inside. Will create emotions inside, excitement inside, different emotions like attachment, aversion, and similarly fear, anger, and distress. All these things are emotions. And they come from bhavamatram. Bhavamatram, that is. If it is satamatram, then it will not create emotions. That is a major difference, a big difference. So, therefore, Krishna says, evam dehadayo bhava ye chandya mrityudo bhayam. Evam dehadayo bhava ye chandya mrityudo bhayam. Although body itself is mithya. Already Krishna said that, is it not? Body is mithya. It's a false thing that we have discussed before. How body is mithya. Body is mithya, mind is mithya, intelligence is mithya, everything is mithya. And when all this is mithya, Krishna is saying, whatever you are experiencing, can that be true? If the body itself is mithya, whatever you are experiencing in the body and the mind, can that be true? That is what he is saying. Evam dehadayo bhava ye chandya amrutyudo bhayam. Amrutyuda bhayam yachandi. Evam dehadayo bhavaha asandobi amrutyudaha bhayam yachandi. Bhayam yachandi. And that is this example, that a reflection or a shadow, then an echo of a sound, or this misunderstanding of a raju sarpam, snake and the rope, they are all examples to show this to us, that they are all not real, all false things. So, but still, when you see that, you are getting emotional and you're getting excited about it. You're getting excited about it. So, all the experiences in the world are like that. Prapancha anubhavam, all the anubhavam in the world is like this. That is what important thing. For example, somebody has abused you in the most vulgar language. Has abused you. And you got hurt. You feel that he has spoken so rudely to me, harshly to me. But if you know that the words, they are just sound, isn't it? The words are nothing but sound. But who gave the meaning to that sound? Your mind has given. Suppose you did, I abused you in French and you don't know French. You won't say anything. You will say that this man is crazy and you will walk away from there. Or I spoke in a language which you do not know. I spoke to you in German, called you all these swear words in German at you, and you don't know German. You will say, it's alright. You will just, either you will smile or you will say, I have gone crazy. You will think like that and you will go. So what does that indicate? Indicate this, that that word, who says it is, that's the meaning of that word? That creates a bhavam inside you, is it not? That when he spoke that, abused you, the words have no meaning, but it was able to project some bhavam inside you. Bhavamatram it is. Sound is all bhavamatram. It all creates that bhavam inside. And similarly, you can see here, Krishna is also saying, evam dehadeyo bhavam. Dehadeyo bhavam. Deham, shariram, body, everything. Krishna says here, dehadi, all this deham is also a bhavam only. It is also a bhavam. Dehadeyo. Deham, body, mind, intelligence, ego. None of them have vastu satta. There is no satta in any of them. All bhavamatram. All bhavamatram. Of course, this realization is a very higher state of realization. We are now talking about jnani on the topmost level, who is in the high state of realization of the self. It's about them Krishna is talking about here. That is why, evam dehadeyo bhavam. For them, body is not real. You can't go and tell some ordinary person that body is not real. He won't understand. But prior to that, you have to go through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And in from what stage Krishna is saying this, that you are not the body. Body is a bhava. It's a bhava matram it is. So just like if you saw a cinema, Dracula for example, you're seeing the Dracula's movie, and then you have seen there his dress and actions, isn't it? After a while you see horror there. Horror movies there, are there. And when you see that, you can't see it anymore. It is so horrible. It creates so much horror inside. And somebody else is coming and telling you, it was fantastic. Dracula was so good. So you are saying to him, he is enjoying that different bhavam, what the Dracula is creating inside him. And he is feeling happy and distressed according to whatever mood it is. So similarly, Krishna is saying here, your experience of so-called birth and death, what you are feeling inside you, is also the same way. I don't know whether you are getting the point. Krishna is saying to us completely from a spiritual position. He is saying their body is false, world is false. He is saying birth and death is also false. In reality, there is no birth, there is no death either. There is no birth, there is no death either. Because he is saying here, Krishna is saying here, that shariradi evam dehadayo bhava echandya mrityudo bhayam. These are all bhavam it is. Which one? Body is a bhavam. Birth is a bhavam. It appears as though you had a birth. It appears as though you died. It appears as though you existed in the world in the form of a body. In the form of a body. So, jnanis, generally, those who are in the jnanamargam, they take these words as total nectar for them. It's total nectar. They like to drink this minute after minute. Every moment they are drinking this. All the Paramahamsa sannyasis, those who have reached, understood the message properly, they will never give up these words. This is their life and soul, these messages. Because it is fixing you in the truth properly. We are always slipping from the truth, isn't it? For us everything is a katha. We like katha. Katha is alright, but katha, when it comes to the truth, katha has a limit there. Katha helps you to purify inside, not more than that. But when it comes to the truth, this is the only chapter where Krishna has spoken without mincing with anything else. No mixing with anything else. Proper truth, straightforward to Uddhava. Uddhava, it is like this. That's the stage, finally. Everything is false. World is false. Body is false. Birth and death is false. Truth is only knowledge, nothing else. Left him there. That is why, after that, Uddhava again says to Krishna, how can I leave you? After saying all these things, Uddhava says to Krishna, how can I leave you? Krishna says to Uddhava, did you not hear me what I told you all this so far? And that is why Uddhava acknowledges at that point, whatever you have spoken is on such a higher level, it's not possible for ordinary people. If Uddhava is saying that, we also have to accept it. It's not possible. We have to say that also along with this. It's not a very ordinary thing, this chapter. It's not an ordinary chapter. It's not an ordinary topic that Krishna is talking about. It is some of the deepest and highest realization Vedantam. Krishna is saying that this is it. There's nothing after that. This is it. There's nothing after that. So, Krishna is saying here that Devam Dehadeyo Bhavam Yachandya Mrityudo Bhayam. Because this, you are affected by this, that's why when death happens, you are frightened, oh, somebody is dead. It is having an impact in you. Why? Dehadeyo Bhavam. So, and they are not true. They are not true. That's why in the Kurukshetram, after 6.4 million people died in the battlefield, Krishna is standing there and smiling. Because they are not real. And everybody, women, children, they are all crying at home. Krishna doesn't show any mercy in these things. You can always see that. Panchali, Draupadi, her children, after the last day of the war, everything was finished, completely smashed, isn't it? And then Krishna says to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, let us go with all the Pandavas and Krishna and with the horses, went to the river bank. Krishna bathed through all the horses. He's a charioteer, isn't it? He has to do that job. So he bathed through all the horses, fed them nicely, tied them all around. So while going, Kunti Devi, Draupadi all went with them. The children, they were small. Draupadi's children were small. So Krishna said, they can stay back and sleep in the barracks. Let them sleep in the barracks. Drishtadyumna can stay there, Panchali's brother. Drishtadyumna, let him stay there. We will go and we will relax in the riverbank after bathing in the river and having some nice feast, and because they were celebrating the victory of the war. So after going there, the next day news comes, this most unfortunate news, all Draupadi's children were murdered. By who? Ashwathama. Ashwathama took the opportunity, went with the, he was an arsonist, isn't it? Ashwathama had this huge wooden log, and with that he set fire to the whole tent. And in that process, all the five children died. And then the situation became very serious. Arjuna and the other Pandavas and Kunti Devi, Draupadi, all of them turned to Krishna and says to Krishna that you could have avoided this. It is your instructions that they should be left behind there. You could have avoided this. There was a mistake. Krishna is smiling. And so Krishna is smiling. Now what will you say about Krishna at that time? They were expecting from Krishna some kind of consolation. Krishna is smiling. Krishna says to Arjuna, have you forgotten Bhagavad Gita? He says. That was the answer. So you can see that from that state, there is no such thing called distress. There is no such thing called anger. There is no such thing called fear. That is Krishna's state. That is Krishna. You have to understand Krishna in this way only. Only then it will make sense. Simply saying that he is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he is one inch higher than us, that is no good. It's not one inch higher, it's a lot higher than us. That position, Krishna's position is so high that vadanti tat tattvavidam, that tattvam is Krishna. That tattvam is Krishna. There is no anger, there is no hate, there is no distress, there is no fear, none of the emotions, excitement in Krishna. In Krishna. Panjali's children has gone, they should go. When Krishna's son was thrown into the ocean, Pradyumna, Krishna is saying, that's my prarabdham, he says. That's my prarabdham. When the Brahmana came and told him in Sandana Gopalam, in the last chapter, in Dwaraka, that Brahmana came and complained to Krishna that you said you will look after my children. One gone, two gone, three gone, four gone, five gone. Finally, ninth one came. Arjuna says, these are all useless who are sitting here, talking to Krishna and Balaram. They are saying they are Kshatriyas, but they are not Kshatriyas, he says. I am the only Kshatriya here. Who is saying this? Arjuna. Krishna is sitting there and smiling. Let me see this Kshatriya. What he is going to do? That's Krishna's mood. So, to making fun of Krishna and Balaram, Arjuna comes out. He didn't talk in front of Krishna and Arjuna. He tells the Brahmana, Brahmana, I'll talk to you something outside. So they come out of the palace. And there is a few verses, Arjuna talks about himself, who he is. If you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see that. Arjuna's ego. You can see that. In there. It is in the 89, I think. No. Yeah. There it is. Naham 89, chapter 89, 10, 10, 89, 33. Arjuna vacha, naham sangarshano brahman, na krishna karshnireva cha, aham va arjuna nama. My name is Arjuna, not Krishna and Balaram, he's saying. My name is Arjuna, aham va arjuna nama. And you know the name of my bow? Gandivam. Gandivam yasevai dhanu. My bow is Gandivam. Naham Sangarshano Brahman. I'm not Sangarshana. I'm not Balaram, he says. Na Krishna. I'm not Krishna either. I'm Arjuna. Arjuna is expecting that Brahmana to recognize that he is a little different than Krishna and Balaram. What else? He's talking about himself. Beating his own drums. He says, Mava Mamsta Mama Brahman. Viryam Trambaka Toshanam Murtyam Vijitya Pradhani Aneshyetam Prajam Prabho. You know what I have done, he says, that in the battlefield even Lord Shiva was pleased with my heroism. He thought how heroic I was, and so when you are talking like this, he says to Brahmana, you are actually insulting me. You are actually insulting me. And I am capable of even winning over in the battle. I can even fight with Yamadharmaraja, Antaka, and kill him and bring your children back. I am capable of doing that, Arjuna says. So when he said that, Brahmana says to him, well, he is saying like this, so I have to believe it, but Brahmana is doubtful. Because this whole pastime was a plan between between Krishna and the Brahmana. You know, it was a deliberately planned plot, it was. Krishna and Brahmana together to teach Arjuna something in that. And that comes out at the end of the chapter. If you look, you will see what Arjuna says at the very chapter, after whole incident, which I won't say now, which you know that probably before. He says at the end of that chapter, if you look, he says here that after, you know what happened, don't you? The nine children, they were brought back. Arjuna promised, Arjuna couldn't do anything. And finally, Arjuna was going to jump into the fire because he committed, made an agreement with the Brahmana that if I can't get him back, then I will jump into the fire. The Brahmana's wife had the baby. But this time what happened? Previous times at least the body was there. This time the body also was missing. Body was also missing. So Brahmana comes out and started abusing Arjuna. Abused him in so strongly, saying to him, I believe he calls himself as a Kshatriya. What kind of Kshatriya is this? If I'm living in a country where Kshatriyas like this are ruling, what hope is there, he says, for people like me? And Brahmana abused him to such an extent, Arjuna was feeling like this. He felt so bad that he thought that best thing is to jump into the fire and kill himself. Because Arjuna is a Kshatriya actually, isn't it? He inside is that burning, that revenge nature. So because he is a Brahmana, Arjuna has a respect for him. He can't do anything. If it was another Kshatriya, Arjuna has pulled out the sword straight away. But so here what happened? Arjuna says to Brahmana, it is true what you are saying. I will give up my life. I'll jump into the fire. And went and bathed and came back and was walking back. You know, just like bowlers when they bowl, they go back to the bowling run, isn't it? For a few yards to get the power to bowl. Similarly, Arjuna was walking away from the fire to come back to bowl, to jump into the fire. So when he was coming back, Krishna caught him. Wait a minute, he said. There is no rush. There is still time to left. And then he spoke to Arjuna. Took him all the way to Vaikuntham to show where these personalities are, the children are. And when he went to Vaikuntham, Mahavishnu receives them. Mahavishnu says to... So there was mutual agreement between Vishnu and Krishna. In a normal way, Vishnu will get up when he sees Krishna. Because he is the absolute truth, isn't it? Supreme Lord himself coming. Know that very well. But Mahavishnu this time deliberately sat down, didn't get up. And Krishna has told Mahavishnu not to get up. And brought Arjuna and all the 9 children, Mahalakshmi and Vishnu, has brought back and handed over. Brought all of them back and brought them back to Dwaraka and handed over to the Brahmana. Brahmana was very pleased. Then Arjuna is discussing this with others, what happened with him, about his taking the vow and what happened. And there is one verse where he is saying to the world, this is his words to the world, the person who said, Aham vai Arjuno nama, the person who said that, now he is saying, Nishamya Vaishnavam dhama, Partha Parama Vipsida Vismidaha Yelkinjidam Paurusham Pumsam Mene Krishna Anugam Vidam. All my Paurusham, my ability. Yelkinjil Pum Paurusham Pumsam. Where is it coming from? Mene Krishna Anugam Vidam. It's coming from Krishna. It is not mine. Till now I was thinking it was mine. That's why he was saying to the Brahmana, Aham vai Arjuna Nama. Now I realize it, after this episode at the end, that Yel Kinjil Paurusham Pumsam, all that Paurusham ability in me, in the battlefield, in Kurukshetram, and in so many other instances, is not mine. It is Mene Krishnanu Kampitam. It has come from Krishna. It has come from Krishna. So, so here, Krishna is saying here, that the Yachandyam Rtido Bhayam. Therefore, even those fear or emotions what comes after the death, even they are not real. So, but it is easy to negate that, isn't it? When we go what's that place? Cemetery or to the place where they cremation place. We all go put our black clothes on, black suit, we have to hire for that. And we go in a very sober mood to show our... But you never see Krishna go into a cemetery with that mood. We have to go like that because we have no choice. But Krishna doesn't go like... Krishna is standing there. He said, put all the bodies and throw them away. All the 6.4 million bodies in the Kurukshetram war, he said, burn them. Panja, Draupadi's children, burn them, he says. Finish with it. It's all gone. They've all gone back. And Draupadi is weeping there. Krishna is saying, your time is also over in this world. You can also go now. So that is Krishna's approach. So Satyam, one who knows the truth, this bhavam will never happen to him. It can never happen anymore. All these emotions, its effect on us, impact on us, different impressions, effect that is creating us in us, is all when you do not know the Satyam. When the Satyam is known, truth is known, all this bhavam goes away. That is what Krishna is saying there. Chaya pratyahvaya bhasam asandopyarthakarina evam dehadayo bhava yachandyamrtyado bhayam. In one verse, Krishna summarized this whole thing, what we have spoken. That chaya pratyuhaya bhasam, that shadow of the shadow of the shadow of the shadow is what's coming and creating impression in you. And you are getting affected by that. And that impression that it is creating is not real. Not only that it's not real, your body is not real, and your birth and death is not real, and all the after effects of that is also not real. That is the state of a jnani. That's the state of his realizations. His realization is in that state. That is why not to expect any kind of sympathetic words or sympathetic treatment from a jnani, from a realized soul. We go to them when we are in trouble, isn't it? When Paramacharya was in Kanchipuram, many, many people, families will come with a lot of family problems, issues. Please bless us, we have got this problem, we have got that problem. So he used to tell them that you are not accepting Shastram. You don't want to hear. When you talk about Shastram, they don't want to listen. They have their own mental concoction about everything. Oh, my family, my this thing, and so many other issues you are bringing up. So Paramacharya used to sit there and listen to all this crap, what we give it to him. And then after that, as much as possible, he tried to present the truth to them. And instead of going through the route and the path what Krishna has shown to us, we take the path of our mind and the senses. And therefore we get affected by it. But the more we accept Krishna's path, Krishna's teachings, then there is no material existence, provided we get to that state. But truth cannot change. Truth is truth. That is why in this chapter, it is a review of the absolute truth. Paramasatyam. Nirupanam of the Paramasatyam. Paramasatyam means absolute truth. Absolute truth state is reviewed in this chapter. Is reviewed in this chapter. And our goal is that, not anything else. You cannot remain in the mental state, mental platform, and continuously think that everything will come out in spiritually. It won't. Because mind is mind at the end. Senses are senses. And Bhagavatam is teaching us that unless you come out of the mind and the senses and the intelligence and the ego and come to the pure platform of the soul, there is no spiritual progress. Completely affected by these things, mind, intelligence, senses, ego, and then try to become spiritually advanced, that is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's all. We will have to stop this chapter here now, because there is a lot more verses here, and the next chapter also equally important like this, which we will discuss it probably during the Christmas time, if time, everything comes out together. So these 10 days now, most of you have heard Bhagavatam, isn't it? Krishna has allowed us to speak Bhagavatam. Krishna has allowed us to listen to Bhagavatam. That opportunity we should never forget. We have to be thankful to Krishna and to Prabhupada for bringing us together and to able to speak about from Bhagavatam. So that you have to always stress that point. It is Krishna's grace that this has happened. Otherwise, looking at all of us, we are all very, very busy people in this world. And a small disturbance in life is enough for us to leave everything and go after that. That's our nature, is it not? A small disturbance in life is enough for us to leave behind everything and run after that. This is our material life. So, to come to Srimad Bhagavatam and to sit and listen for 10 days with attention for a few hours every day means that Krishna has allowed that. Otherwise it wouldn't happen. It would not happen. Similarly, to talk from Bhagavatam also, unless there is Krishna has allowed that to happen, it won't happen. Bhagavatam and Krishna is so closely connected. Srimad Bhagavadakyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. So, taking all this into account, we have to feel grateful to Krishna, grateful to Prabhupada for what he has given us and what Krishna has allowed us to enjoy. When Bhagavatam says that, Nikamakalpataror Galidam Phalam, Shukamukhad, Amurdadrivasam Yudam, Pipada, Bhagavadam, Rasam Pipada, Alayam Pipada, 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 keep on drinking Srimad Bhagavatam in life. That is the message. Let Bhagavatam get inside our thinking, our life, and that will change this whole material life altogether. That is why Pipada Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam, Alayam Rasam it is. Muhuraho Rasiga Bhuvi Bhavugaha. He is saying there. Isn't it? Keep on enjoying Srimad Bhagavatam as much as possible. That's one. Secondly, Shravanam is only the first step in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the first step. There is two more things after that. Is it not? Mananam and Nididhyasanam. That is why rishis knew our weaknesses. Therefore, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see, after the whole Bhagavatam was spoken, in the 12th chapter of the 12th canto, there's a whole summarization of the whole Bhagavatam. Just to once again stress the everything what you have heard, one more time remembering it. One more time remembering it. And that is why, only if you do that, otherwise, what you have heard on the first day, you won't remember on the last day. You won't even remember what you heard on the last day. What to talk about the first day? So, 10 days time is a small time. In the Srimad Bhagavatam's relishing Bhagavatam, 10 days is a very small time. There are people who are enjoying Bhagavatam throughout their life. 50 years, 60 years. And whole day reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the nectar that comes from Bhagavatam will never stop. It's endless. Each and every verse you can see in the Bhagavatam, how much potency it has got. That those who have that realization and capacity to present that Bhagavatam in that way, it is endless. And they live in that nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, rishis created this system that Shravanam to be followed by Mananam and later on by Nididhyasanam. So everything Mananam is necessary. Whatever we have heard, whatever you have enjoyed, there may be a lot of good things in there, there may be something bad things. If there is any good things in there, you can take that credit to Prabhupada. If there is any bad things what you have heard from me, that is my own problem, mistakes. So, accepting that way, you remember that reflection is very, very important. Don't leave them behind. Read Srimad Bhagavatam, reflect on what you have heard, and let Bhagavatam become an easy access. Let it not remain as a unknown substance, unknown topic, and then asking questions how Salya was fighting with Krishna, how the air traffic control system was working. These kind of questions, let it not come. Let such questions not come from inside. We have to ask the right questions, because if you go deeper into Bhagavatam, these kind of questions will not come. Because you are always on the surface, looking at Bhagavatam on the surface, these kind of questions are coming up. So, proper mananam will benefit us for the time you have spent here for 10 days and whatever you have heard. So I'll stop there and we'll start next weekend, not this weekend, next weekend with Bhagavad Gita and go back to the 18th chapter as usual. And that means next weekend is Saturday and Sunday is Janmashtami. Janmashtami is on Sunday. We'll have Saturday Bhagavad Gita class at Vishnu's place. And Sunday, we will have a program here for Janmashtami on Sunday. And then Monday is Prabhupada's appearance day. So they are celebrating at the manor, so if anybody wants to go there, we'll leave it at that then. All those who Srila Prabhupada, we'll have some kirtan now for some time, please.